Hey, are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, ready, right? Me and you? Everybody? Great.
I'm ready. What? Ready for what?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey guys, I just found the most amazing thing online. It's about a 2-minute clip of Megan Fox. She's completely naked, reclining on a couch, and she's f***ing herself. Yeah, just download that puppy, put her on loop, and enjoy. The website address is www.giantfemalegenitals.
So that's nice for everybody.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Oh, I've got a confession for you, Foxy Lady. I think you're a Foxy Lady.
And now, when I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos. I love them so much.
Our feature presentation.
What am I listening to?
You're listening to somebody on the blue line, somebody named Kevin from the Valley, and
turn down your radio, sir. You're on the air. Turn down your radio. Yes, sir.
How many times?
Sir does love hot Cheetos.
Yeah, he sure does. Oh, Kevin.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Are we working today?
Unless you got me a TV in the riots last night, there's no excuse for you not being here.
Well, I would like to thank the Highway Patrol for pulling me over and congratulating me on my speed this morning.
Is that how they phrased it?
They said, you are going, amazingly, the only car on the road going exactly the speed limit. We're going to give you a positive ticket, and then I can cash it in and actually give me money.
That sounds like a hot new trend.
How cool is that?
All right, let's play a little game here in the studio. Let's see if we can guess how fast Kevin was going this morning. Now,
how dare you?
First of all, did they write you a ticket for the amount you were going, or did they shave it a little bit?
They were quite kind to me.
Okay. I'm going to say that Kevin was going 82.
Oh, no.
What do you think, Lisa?
No way. They wouldn't write him a
solid
ticket.
Solid 90.
You think 90?
Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't write him a ticket for 82.
But if it were 100, they wouldn't have shaved.
Right.
So it's got to be under 100, I think.
What's your guess, Michael?
98 miles per hour.
All right, we got 98, we got 100, we got 82. Kevin, what's the answer?
147.
I'm guessing new.
It was, let me think, 82 is what it was.
No, tell me what was it
Come
really?
On.
That was it.
That's what I said.
You never
I said 82.
82.
That's what it was.
82?
They would not write you a ticket for going 82.
Do.
No way.
Oh, that's fantastic. They did.
If I go over 70 miles an hour, I'm taking the chance because I was like 75 a couple years ago and they pulled up with the speaker. And told me to slow down. And that was at 75.
What bizarre world are you living in? So if you're going 80-ish, you're good in L.A. Trust
that
me.
That is not true.
100%.
Really? Well, explain why he just got a ticket, Mr.
Because
Trust
he's lying.
Me.
He's not going 82.
Lying.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, I didn't realize that was the case. If I had known that, I would have told the cop. Mike says 82 is cool.
If you're in the number one lane and there's no traffic, which there isn't at this time of morning, 82 is not getting you a ticket. I'm telling you.
But isn't that in contrast
with
the fact that it just happened, though, Mike?
What am I supposed to do with Mike's information right now?
I don't know, because it happened to you. This is kind of like no one wins the lottery until somebody does.
Right.
I mean, the odds may be against it, but if it happened, it happened.
Yeah, if it already happened, then maybe arguing that it can't happen is not healthy.
You want to also posit that the Lakers cannot win the titles? You want to go ahead and tell us that?
Okay, here's Omar who's saying I drive 80 to 85 every day all the way from work.
Right.
I drive 85 every day all the way from work. And
cops drive past you?
All the time, all day, every day, every single day.
Those are the cops on their way home.
No,
they don't want to be bothered.
That's the I drive 82 every morning as well and don't get a ticket. But you know what? Today, got a ticket. What do
All
you
right.
want me to do?
I want you to come to work. And I'm sorry you got a ticket, but I'm saying that either you got a stingy cop who needs to meet his quota or you were going faster than 82.
Okay, I'm glad that you have theories. I don't really care much about your theories, to be honest.
All right. Well, this is fascinating, but I just noticed that we do have some callers that we should probably be going to.
Here's what I love, though. I love that I can do the online traffic school, so that should take like a half hour.
20 minutes max.
Yeah, bad news.
See you in a minute.
All right. Take care. It's Monday morning, and it is, in fact, today, the 15th of Poon.
Hello, Poon.
There we go. 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew.
We're sorry. You missed first dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
What it do, nephew.
All right, you can pick up the phone and call from wherever you are. If you can hear the show, you can be on the show. 1-800-520-1067. Today you get a set of Skull Candy Full Metal Jacket earbuds and a Skull Candy swag pack. Can anyone translate that for me?
That is a new product by AT&T.
Okay.
Skull Candy earbuds.
Skull Candy earplugs. Yeah. All right. That's what you get for being on the air with the Kevin and Bean Show today. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with line, how about line 6 this morning? No name visible, but let's see who it is.
That's George, I believe.
Hey, George. Hey. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Hey, I'm just calling to say shout out to the Lakers. Congratulate them on taking the championship last night.
Yes.
It should have been a sweep, but it's all good.
I don't think anyone can really complain about 5 games.
Nah, you can't complain as long as we got the title.
Exactly. Did you get yourself a TV in the riding last night?
No, not yet. I'm going to pick it up today in the morning.
Well, that's not how it works. You get a TV in the excitement when the windows are being broken and when you can get away with it. You don't go the next day and go, yeah, I was tired last night. I didn't come out for the ride, so can I have a TV now? It doesn't work that way.
Damn, I guess I missed my chance. I got passed out.
You have to wait till next year. All right.
That's all right.
Thank you very much for the call. You contributed a lot to the conversation. By the way, I think it's a fun game to play to look at the pictures online or the video on the TV of the massive crowds and the cars overturned and the fire and the people screaming and the police with the helmets and stuff, and then guess whether it's downtown LA last night or Tehran, Iran after the elections over the weekend.
Good times.
Very similar photos, which I find very funny. Let's try Rick. He's on line 1 on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning on a Monday morning. Hey, Rick, what it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, do, baby. First off, I did get myself a TV last night.
Congratulations. Well done.
But I was the only guy in Connecticut ready for the Lakers to get TVs.
That must have been a pretty lame riot if you're out there in the mean streets of Hartford trying to get a TV.
Just me running around with my bat. That's it. I did wake up Sunday morning, turned on the cable. HBO was on. Started watching this movie about a 40-year-old boxer trying to make it to the Beijing Olympics. And look and see, and it's Adam Carolla.
Oh, yeah. That's Adam's movie, The Hammer, right?
Yes, The Hammer.
That's a pretty good movie, right?
Oh, my God. I think they did it with a one camera, different angles with one camera.
It was pretty low budget, but the writing and the acting was good in it.
No.
Really? You didn't care for it?
He disagrees.
Well, plus he's playing a carpenter, which I guess, you know, that's his background anyway.
Right.
Yeah, he really is.
Wasn't a stretch.
Well,
it was not a stretch.
Okay,
sometimes they say, do what you know. He's not really claiming to be an actor.
No, but this movie, I couldn't believe it made it there. I mean, I watched the whole thing, don't get me wrong, but
okay.
Oh my god.
Said the guy with the bat.
So you
it almost came all the way around, but not quite.
All right. Very good. Thank you for the call. I disagree. I thought it was, especially since Adam's not an actor, I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah.
We can reject it totally. We don't have to.
I think we should reject it. Hey, Kevin's wearing a striped shirt. Hey. What happened? Let's try one more, and I believe we've got Justin. He's on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Justin, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo? So I was totally online last night, and I saw an article about this dude that got a sex change in Germany.
Right. Yeah.
Youngest sex change ever. Hottest sex change ever.
Really?
Is there even a category for that?
There is. There's that one actress, Lisa. Who is she? Who you can't believe
yes.
used to be a man because she's so attractive.
I cannot.
Jamie Lee Curtis?
No. We got to find her. But how old
she's
is this
gorgeous.
Guy?
16.
16?
Did he need his parents' permission?
And it was the youngest one in history done in Germany. And I swear it was like a solid 10 out of 10.
You wow. know.
I'm going with no. I think I reject this guy too.
Look it up, dude.
In general.
In general, but occasionally, especially okay. 16, he's young.
There could be exceptions.
Right.
In general, you add male to female and try to mix, and then you try to wear different clothes.
But you've seen pretty boys.
Yes.
The dude's a model now.
They're a big exception.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you get to work or wherever you're going today, we want you to get totally back online and send us that picture, all right?
I will do that.
All right, dude. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Teenage queen?
Well, maybe. I don't know, Ronnie. I don't know. All right. So, Kevin's here.
Don't have my schedule, so we've got a great show today.
I should have put some money on that guess of 82, by the way.
Yeah, you're
yeah,
right.
You should have. Well, what are the chances you can guess it dead on?
It was ridiculous. That's why we all thought you were lying, I think, yeah, for a second, because it's not like you're making it up, because you were really going 147.
How dare you. All right, on today's Kevin and Bean Show, it's Monday, June 15th.
We did all that?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. We're going to talk about the NBA Finals. I don't know if you saw, but...
What?
Good things happened.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Matt Money Smith is going to be joining us in about a half an hour. I saw a photo of him taken in the middle of the night. I'm sure he's going to be very tired. A photo of him standing with the trophy.
Wow.
So apparently he was partying.
That's pretty cool.
So he's going to sound like crap.
We have movie star Michael Cera on the program today from year one. We have Erotica LA highlights.
Oh, right.
Ralph went to that over the weekend and brought a camera. Kevin Nealon will be on the program today talking about Weeds.
Weeds is awesome.
It is maybe one of the best shows on TV, yes. We have Breakfast with Incubus tickets today. Of course, the last day, as it happens tomorrow morning. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we have sperm shampoo. So you call at 1-800-520-1.
No, we already took the calls.
Why? We already took calls, yeah.
What was that last one? I didn't catch what that last one was.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
I thought you said something after that, some product we were going to be talking about.
Sperm shampoo. All right, we'll take a break. Ralph Showbiz Beat is
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, did you hear Mike arguing that Kevin could not have gotten a ticket going 82 miles an hour this morning?
Yeah, I heard that.
That was good logic, right?
Yeah, because sometimes people go 82 and they don't get tickets.
Yeah.
Therefore, no one ever gets a ticket. That's why no one ever gets charged with murder.
Right.
Because some people murder and get away with it, so no one ever gets caught with a bloody knife in their hands and goes to jail for murder.
The funniest part about that is not that that's his theory, but that his certainty is 100%.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's always that way. Yeah. He's always totally committed to whatever BS he's spouting at the moment.
100%. He'll say that.
Absolutely is. Absolutely happened. Absolutely is true.
In the face of contrary
evidence.
Nobody gets
tickets.
That's what I love.
Murder.
Yeah, hey, I'm right there with you. All right. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week. What the heck's going on?
Let's do what we do every Monday morning, which is take a look at the most successful movies at the weekend box office. The Hangover still kicking major movie ass. $33.4 million it made this weekend.
I saw that over the weekend.
Yes.
There you go.
It was awesome. But the funniest thing was the guy next to me, who his laugh was hilarious,
oh, no.
And he laughed at everything. It actually made it funnier.
It did. Oh.
Yeah.
Was his name Jed the Fish?
No, but it was close.
I wonder how Jed would sound if he was laughing at The Hangover.
Oh, that would have
been. Yep. Yeah. That's not the guy you want sitting next to you in the movie in a comedy.
You'd miss the next two punchlines.
This is a movie that does not have big stars, but had a brilliant marketing campaign, and the word of mouth has got to just be fueling this thing through the stratosphere, because everyone who goes to see it tells their friends, you got to go see it.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
And it was made for a pittance, too, so the company's very happy this morning, I'm sure. Up, still doing very well as well. $30.5 million, made it number two at the box office. The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 in its debut made a little over $25 million.
That's not a comedy.
That was not a comedy.
It's a serious thriller about people being put in danger.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I saw that one. I saw that
How was it?
Okay. Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. It was good.
All right, then.
Not great.
Thanks for chiming in.
It was good. There were a couple of times when the dialogue, I don't know how this happens, but I guess, don't they have somebody on set that's a dialogue person, Ralph?
that
they can run stuff. They would say things, and you would just go, you know, there's no way that in hell that any one person anywhere on this earth would say what they just said in that situation.
Yeah, those things should be cleared up before they get to the set.
You'd
really
think, but no.
Yeah, that passed muster in a script at some point.
Yeah, there usually isn't a person who, unless the writer's invited to the set, which rarely happens, but unless there's someone on the set making those choices, that usually goes as written.
It was really good. The acting was good. Everything was good.
The director can always say, oh, you know, wait a minute, let's change that line. But usually it's
not. I love it.
Okay. Land of the Lost came in at number five this weekend. I'm sorry, I mentioned Night at the Museum was four?
Mm-mm.
Night at the Museum was four. Then Land of the Lost. Then Imagine That. Star Trek. Imagine That, by the way, only pulling in $5.7 million in its opening weekend. Even kids aren't going to see Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Star Trek was number seven, Terminator Salvation was eight, Angels and Demons, and Drag Me to Hell, rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. Happened over the weekend, didn't have a chance to talk about it on Friday, but it looks like it's official. Usher and his wife Tamika are splitting up. after nearly 2 years of marriage. Well, you can see after 2 years, you just have an ass full of each other.
They gave it a good go.
At least they have two kids. They managed to squeeze in two kids in 2 years.
Wow.
Usher the fifth.
What?
Usher the fifth.
That's the name of one of the kids?
Yes. Well, it's not the fifth. It's not a name. You know, they didn't put that on his driver's license.
All right.
They don't spell it out, but he is, you know, once you run it past the junior, you got to move on to numbers.
I see.
So Usher must be the fourth.
So they're all Usher? Every kid named Usher?
Okay, hold on a second. In his family, in Usher's family, there must be five Ushers.
Oh,
he is the fourth. He's Usher the fourth.
I didn't realize
he named his son Usher the fifth. He doesn't have five kids.
I thought he
named Usher.
Usher the first, second, third, fourth, and
now
the fifth.
No.
It's like George Foreman.
He has
one.
George Foreman. He's got two kids. One of them is named Usher, the fifth.
I'm confused.
You can't be confused. It's very simple.
All right.
His name is Usher. Okay? He had two kids. There's two kids.
Okay.
The first boy, he named Usher as well, after himself.
Okay.
But because he's the fourth one,
right?
His Usher, his son, would become Usher the fifth.
And the other one is George Foreman.
No. The other one is Navid.
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 Okay.
Well, Feliz Navid, I believe, is the official Christmas greeting amongst our Latino listeners.
Kevin, God damn it.
So, I didn't forget even now what I was talking about. Guess
I'm sorry,
Rob. Getting a divorce. Something
after
happened with
almost
those two people. Six Flags is declaring bankruptcy. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah. I'm so bummed.
Is this a we got to close our doors bankruptcy?
No, apparently,
or just reorganization?
Apparently there's reorganizing under Chapter 11.
It's so a paperwork thing.
The theme parks will remain open. They've got 20 theme parks across the United States. Employees will continue to be paid. They say attendance is still pretty good, but somehow they accrued this unmanageable debt, and so they're going to have to file Chapter 11. $2.4 billion in debt they have,
by the way.
That's pretty hefty. First thing you're going to do is remove the new hip from that old dude who dances for him. Apparently, they're going to take that back, which is sad because he's going to be...
Won't make that much of a difference.
Poor old guy. Funeral for David Carradine this weekend. Brought out a number of celebrities Saturday afternoon. Tom Selleck stopped by. Lucy Liu. Daryl Hannah. Jane Seymour. All friends of the family. A group of Hell's Angels were there. And a group of Lakota tribe members.
Well, of course.
Hey.
That's a varied group of friends you've got there if you're David Carradine.
You've
got Tom Selleck and the Hells Angels and some Lakotas show up. Apparently they burned incense and gave blessings to everyone who attended. And it was a very touching, but they say lighthearted send-off to David Carradine. Everyone showed up in fishnets and wigs, which I thought was cute.
It'll be Kung Fu first. Ask questions later.
Megan Fox. If you believe the rumors.
I do.
Has a big fat crush on her Transformers co-star Shia LaBeouf. Apparently there's sparks flying.
Is that right?
In spite of everything he keeps saying.
Yeah.
In spite of the fact he wants to bang his mom.
And he's talking about the length of his unit.
Yeah. And it's not good.
Yeah.
Friends say that she can't stop talking about him and says that she admits that she can't stop thinking about him.
How'd you like to hit that?
Apparently, she would like to have a relationship with young Mr. LaBeouf. Friends say Shia seems ambivalent about the whole situation.
Ambivalent?
But word is, if he had snapped his fingers, she'd come running, but apparently he's not committed to the situation.
I cannot get my head around what you're saying. I see your mouth moving.
I'm
saying I hear the words.
He doesn't seem to be that into her.
I am not comprehending the story
at all.
I'm
saying he's just not that into her.
He has five kids, and they're all named Usher?
Yes, that's exactly what happened. And here's a fascinating piece of trivia about one of TV's biggest shows. You know Seinfeld.
Sure.
You know the part of George Costanza, who was so brilliantly played by Jason Alexander.
Yes.
Well, in his new autobiography, We'll Be Here for the Rest of Our Lives, Paul Schaefer discloses that he was originally offered the role of George Costanza.
What?
He was first offered the role of George Costanza.
He's not a good actor.
He is not a good actor, yet he was offered the role.
Huh.
You have to remember, Seinfeld was a tiny little show that no one knew who Jerry Seinfeld was, and it was just a placeholder. NBC said, let's give this guy a show, we can have him under contract, and then when something opens up for us late night, we can get him to host one of our late night shows. But they were just really just putting him on retainer by throwing him this sitcom bone.
Huh.
And apparently, he and creator
Larry David,
Larry David thought Schaefer would be a funny choice to play Jerry's best friend.
Because let's face it, Jason Alexander was a nobody at that,
exactly.
at that point, too.
Wow. So he said he was too busy doing music and with Letterman and stuff and wasn't interested. So he passed. And now he has a little bit of regret. Isn't that fascinating?
That is.
That's weird.
Yeah. Jerry, I can't see it.
I can't either.
It doesn't work for me. Do we have time? Yeah, real quick. I just thought it was funny. A funny little side note here. Remember we were saying, you're an idiot if you don't know by now that the whole digital switch is going on
right.
on television, analog to digital. Everyone knows. Why did they have to move the date back? No one's that stupid.
7 billion commercials.
We've all been beaten to death with this information. Everybody knows it's coming. This weekend, the Federal Communications Commission got 700,000 calls about the digital TV switch.
Yep.
Only a small portion, they say, were people actually looking still to get converter boxes. The rest were just confused and couldn't understand why they couldn't see their favorite TV shows anymore.
Yep.
Oh, well. 700,000 people.
Oh, I wish they'd make those tapes available.
Me too.
Look how
and
bad.
I wish they'd make the phone numbers available so we could call each and every one
I
of them.
I don't care how bad your weekend was. How would you like to be the guy from the FCC who had to explain to 700,000 confused elderly people why they weren't getting television Saturday? I can't find the PTL club. Sir, are you familiar with the digital television? What? Yeah, that's bad. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Jim Belushi is 55 years old today. Is that according to Jim still on the air?
No, yeah. They finally canceled it.
Is it finally gone?
I was on primetime ABC within the last month. I saw it on the schedule. But maybe they're burning off reruns until the new season of something else starts. I don't know.
Susan Boyle from Britain's Got Talent. That lady?
Yes. Yeah.
48 years old today.
Subo?
What?
Don't make us go to court again over your...
flimsy. Helen Hunt is 46 years old today.
Uh-huh.
Courtney Cox is 45 years old today.
Coca?
Ice Cube, rapper and actor, turns 40.
Ice Cube?
Actress Leah Remini turns 39.
Yeah.
And Neil Patrick Harris, of course you know him as Doogie Howser, MD, currently can be seen on How I Met Your Mother, was the host of the Tonys. He is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Actor Michael Cera from Year One on the program later today. By the way, that's the only reason I'm glad the NBA Finals are done is because we can stop seeing the Jack Black, Michael Cera Year One commercials every 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's great. The NBA season's over and hockey's over in the same weekend.
You couldn't be more excited.
Oh, now I have nothing.
Let's talk to a Laker fan who is in Orlando this morning, and I bet he didn't get a wink of sleep. Hey, Matt Money Smith, former sports guy of The Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
About 70 minutes.
Yeah. 70 minutes. All I know is I saw the picture that you tweeted at, I don't know, 2 a.m. or something of you standing there with the trophy, and I thought, Money's having a long night.
Yeah, turns out it was. Turns out there was that debate, you know, that when you know you're having a good night, and it's the, well, do I stay up
right.
or do I actually get 60 to 90 minutes of sleep?
Yeah.
What's the good move
for
here?
Me, 60 to 90 minutes is a killer. You just stay up.
Yeah, you stay up. I agree.
That's my choice.
Yeah. But you know what? I always try, and then, you know, guys just start dropping one after another.
Right.
And next thing you know, it's just like you and the janitor.
What time's your flight back, Matt?
I think we're flying back at like, I don't know, like 11 or 11:30 our time here locally. So about 8:30 LA time, we should be back in LA, I guess, you know, between 1 and 2.
You'll be sound asleep before that plane leaves the ground.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's going to be the most mellow championship flight, return championship flight. The players are just all going to be passed out. No celebration on the flight home.
Now, Money gets the credit for predicting before the series began that the Lakers would win it in 5, as they did. It looked like Orlando came out hot but got deflated very quickly and really just kind of bided their time for the last, you know, was certainly in the second half.
Well, that speaks to, you know, how bad do they want it? Do they think they can win this? And when, you know, it's fine when you're up 7-8, but the question is, what happens when you fall behind?
Yep.
Will you make a run to catch up, or will you see a 6-point lead turn into 12, turn into 18, and then you just throw in the towel? And that's what happened last night.
I think the Magic
quarter.
Probably lost heart after those two games that they pretty much should have won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had two games very, not easy, but in hand. They could have won, and they didn't. And at that point, they go, well.
The one for sure. I mean, the one that sticks out, of course, is Game Four. You
right.
know, that would have evened it up at 2-2, and they're up 5 with 90 with 36 seconds left.
Right.
You know, and they just couldn't make free throws, and it just goes to show you, hey, you kids out there, you know, it's not all about the fancy slam dunks. You got to make your free throws.
Right? Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
Championship.
Look, everybody knows how happy they are to win, but the relief on Kobe's face at the press conference where he said, I'm so glad I don't have to hear, and he didn't have to say what it was, all that stupid stuff every time. He must just be so happy to get the Shaq monkey off his back.
Yeah, he most definitely is. He actually came over and hung out with me for a few minutes right after he did that press conference. And, you know, as someone who's around him quite a bit, I have never seen him, you know, as excited. And, you know, obviously when he won his first title, it was new, and that was, you know, very real. Not that anything wasn't real for the other two, but you could tell this was, you know, it was very special.
Right.
And it was his team, you know, and that's the difference. While he had a major impact, and they would not have won those titles without him on the three Shaq-Kobe teams, you know, Shaq was the older player. Shaq was the finals MVP, so, you know, thereby it's Shaq's team.
Right.
This was Kobe's team. And it's funny, you know, now instead of just winning a championship to validate your career, you've got to win multiple championships.
Right.
You know, because of what Michael did, and that's Michael Jordan did, and that's what changed everything in the game. And now Kobe belongs in that conversation.
How many did Michael Jordan win?
He won six.
Six. Okay.
So and Kobe's at four
right.
now, right?
Okay, a couple more. That's good. What?
But he can do it. You know, he can do it. They signed these guys, and this is the best team in the league, and likely should be the best team in the league for a few years to come.
Right. What does the team do after the champagne in the locker room and then the press conference, and now they're done? You know, it's the last day of school for them. They don't have to practice. They don't have to get up in the morning, you know, except to get to the plane. But, I mean, do they go out? Do they all go back to the hotel, or they have a party? What do they do?
Well, you know, figure those guys left here right around 5 o'clock, right, to get to the arena to play basketball.
Right.
You know, and they're all running up and down the court for 3 hours, and then they got to, you know, do their press conference, do the presentation. You know, they don't get back here until 12:30 in the morning. So, you know, you're talking about a span of 7.5 hours where they haven't had anything to eat. They've exerted a whole mess of energy and burned off all kinds of calories. So what they typically do is, after every game, they have like a banquet hall, you know, closed off, and the players then can, you know, refuel, get a bunch of food. So last night, instead of that just being their standard MO and getting back to the hotel and getting your food on and replenishing, it was a party. So same sort of thing they would normally do on the road, except for instead of it just being a bunch of food on a buffet line, you know, there's a bunch of music playing, and the Larry O'Brien trophy's in the corner, and people are freaking out, and
sure.
It's an open bar.
Does it suck for them to win on the road because, you know, if they go out anywhere in Los Angeles, it would be, you know, like a parade.
Right.
They go out in Orlando, probably not so excited to see them.
Yeah. And you know what? It's not like they're going to keep Orlando open on a Sunday night for them.
Right, exactly.
So it's like when it's 1 o'clock, and it's like, hey, where are we going? Nowhere.
Bed.
Hey, at 1 a.m.
I felt so bad for the Penguins having to skate the Cup in Detroit and knowing that it was about 1/100th as much fun as it would have been at home. It's just no fun to win on the road.
Yeah, you know, of those three championships, the Lakers only won one at home, you know, that
yep.
they won with the Shaq Kobe years, that first one in 2000. Everything else was in Philly and then New Jersey. So, but, you know, I guess that just speaks to taking care of business quicker than, you know, maybe it just kind of shows their domination, you
right.
know, because they beat New Jersey in 4, they beat Philly in 5, they beat Orlando in 5. They're just a far superior team.
Now, Money, I know you weren't watching the television broadcast, obviously, because you were there, but did you see the PSA of Please Don't Burn Our City?
You know what? I got an email. I was on the air, and I got an email from the sheriff saying, can you please read this?
Oh.
So I kind of had to do sort
Dude.
Of the same thing, the don't burn our city, like, hey, be cool. Stop jumping on cop cars and lighting off fireworks, you weirdos.
Here's a little Come bit on. Of the audio from that.
John Bacchus's got to put it up. Tries to back it. Does so. And a foul. Kobe Bryant.
We've been working hard all year to bring another championship to Los Angeles.
And we've been counting on your support.
So when we win, please celebrate with dignity.
This is your moment to shine and show the world we do things the right way in Los Angeles.
Be safe. Thank you.
Celebrate with dignity.
Yeah, that didn't work so well, did it?
Hey, we've all seen way worse riots, though. I mean, it sucked. And, of course, if you happen to own the stores that got the windows broken or the bus that got the windows broken, that sucks really hard for you. But compared to other riots that we've seen after championships, it was pretty tepid.
I thought it was a little weak. Myself.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I would like to have stepped it up a little.
Could have been a lot worse. Kevin did not get me a new TV, as he guaranteed, by the way.
Yeah.
Now, a new sofa for Lisa and a TV for me.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, Money, where was Jerry Buss? And why did they send their retarded son to take that trophy?
Oh, come on. That's not Joey. You know, Joey, of course, was consumed by the moment.
Right.
Joey's, you know, he's a great kid.
Right.
And I think he just kind of got stuck. You know, Dr. Buss was back in L.A. with Jeannie and Jim.
They can't be bothered to go to the game that maybe they win another championship at?
Yeah, you know, Jeannie was here, his daughter Jeannie, and Joey and Jesse, his the other two sons. And I think it was just that kind of moment of, you know, well, we kind of got to give it to somebody in ownership. Who's it going to be? I was really surprised that it was Joey. And you know what? I guess, you know, when you take the speech out of it, just think about that dude, you know, in his early 20s, standing there,
yeah,
getting presented with a trophy. It was a pretty cool moment.
Being all retarded and whatnot.
Right.
I'm so happy.
Here's a little audio of that.
15 NBA championships. What does this one mean to the family?
This one means a lot. The fans stuck with us through thick and thin. This is the 15th one that we have as a family.
He is not happy. It doesn't seem.
He's probably nervous.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I guess I just know him, so I'm trying to stick up for Joey. Just cause
right.
But that's not him. I think it was just the moment, you know, and it's much cooler, of course, to pile on, and I wish I could.
He's not a window licker?
No, totally not. Normal conversation. Good dude. One of my favorite bus children. And just got kind of sucked into that. Okay, I got to give a speech here. I think what happened was he was just on the platform, and they're like, hey, here's a bus kid. Give it to him.
Yeah,
right.
Great. You're going to be, by the way, first of all, I should say, I know how busy you are and how crazy your hours have been out there. We really appreciate throughout all of these playoffs that you've been willing to come on the Kevin Bean Show. It really means a lot to us. You're going to be so happy to get home after, what, 5 or 6 days in Orlando? See your family again?
Yeah, what? 7 days. Full week, and I'm telling you, it is the worst weather in the world. It's these people don't have the slightest idea how to drive. It is, you know, I guess if you're coming here to go to Disney World and all that, which I wasn't, it's brutal. The shuttle got canceled. Like, everything that I wanted to do kind of got blown out with the exception of that whole championship thing. But, yeah, it's brutal, man. If you got plans to come here in the summer with your family, good God, the weather, man. Good luck with that.
Don't do it. Reschedule.
All right, dude. Well, listen, get some sleep. We'll look forward to hearing you back on the radio. Of course, Fox Sports Radio across the country. Money with our friend Petros Papadakis. Thanks again for everything, Matt. We'll see you soon, dude.
All right, guys.
Hey, Money, does Sasha get a ring, too?
Turns out.
Okay, just checking. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show Monday morning. What's that secret ingredient in your shampoo that makes your hair look so terrific? Well, it's...
You'll find out.
You'll find out. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, let's catch up with our old friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, the world's entertainment website of record. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, man?
It was good until last night.
What happened last night?
I'm really pissed off. And what these guys did after the game last night. I'm really pissed off.
I know, me too. They were really, they brought it pretty weak. I mean, if you're going to riot, really bring it, right?
No, that wasn't exactly my point.
What is that about? I understand being happy and excited. What's that about, though, where you start lighting fires and breaking windows? Explain that to me.
They are criminals looking for an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, the idea that they would basically hijack an MTA bus and trash a subway place and whatever else they did, I really hope they all go to prison. I really do. I mean, that just is. I mean, when you think about it, they're just criminals. These are hardened criminals who just were looking for some excuse.
I heard they arrested about 25 people last night, and Chief Bratton, chief of police for Los Angeles, called them knuckleheads. And that's the kind of strong language that I think you need law enforcement to dole out.
He said that?
He said they were knuckleheads.
Knuckleheads?
He called them knuckleheads.
Wow. What are we, the Three Stooges?
I know.
Hey, Harvey, I know you don't have much time because you're getting ready to go into your meeting, but look for an email for me in a few minutes. I'm going to send you a link to a story that a listener tipped us off to about a woman, now a woman, formerly a man in Germany. She's the youngest transsexual who's had the full sex reassignment surgery.
How old?
You're not going to... 16.
Wow.
You're not going to believe how pretty she is. You're not going to believe that it used to be a man. So I'm going to send that to you. I think you'll love that for the site.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it's a very, very cool. And thanks again to the listener who tipped us off. Let's talk about a couple things real quick. First of all, your friends Spidey are back from Costa Rica. Now, I did not watch the last few episodes of I'm a Celebrity, but what ended up happening? Spencer was talking about suing and all that deal against NBC. What ended up happening?
Well, I got to say, I talked to him on the phone, and he was ballistic. I mean, screaming on the phone from Costa Rica saying he's going to sue NBC. He was crazed. And he said that, you know, they compromised Heidi's health. They were tortured. And all of a sudden, he comes back, and it's like, yeah, everything's great. I love NBC.
Yeah.
And it's like civil. But then again, you know, they live in this, I mean, it's so funny because they live in this altered reality. You know, that's the idea of Costa Rica going there for something like this. But they normally live in an altered reality. So this was nothing different really for them.
Yeah.
So, but that's just going to fade away. There's not going to be anything. I mean, that's done, right?
Well, that's done. But I mean, you know, the funny part about it is we did a story, that she, you know, she's posing for Playboy and, we did a story that she's posing for two covers, and we also said that they're not going to show full nudity, that she's going to cover herself.
Right.
So here's the deal. So we get these angry calls on Friday, and they're saying it's untrue, that's not right.
From who? From Heidi?
Well, all I'm saying is we got a couple of calls.
Okay.
But ultimately, what the people that were pissed off were Playboy, and they were saying it wasn't true. And I I'm not, you know, busting anybody. If somebody wants to take me into their confidence, I'm the best person you can talk to because I won't reveal it. But I ran into them at a restaurant a month ago, and in the middle of a whole restaurant, they're telling me loud that, oh yeah, she posed, she put her hands around her breasts, and you know, and. They're trying, and I finally said on the phone, I said, guys, I said, I can tell you the table where this happened.
Right.
And then they kind of like sheepishly backed off because they want to sell issues and they don't want to make it seem like she didn't show anything.
Well, I couldn't hate her any more than I do, but I would pay to see her naked. I'll tell you that.
That's the thing. That's why they're so upset.
Because you're not going to see her naked.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, that'll give me more reason to hate her even more than I already do.
Did you hear Megan Fox is single?
Yes, and Ralph was saying a few minutes ago that she has the hots for Shia LaBeouf. Can that be so?
Well, they're doing a movie together. And,
right.
You know, every time people do a movie together and they hang out, there's always a rumor.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, they have been hanging out together.
You're right, so go for it, right?
Weird, because I saw her at a restaurant about, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, a month ago, and Brian Austin Green was there with her, and she was all over him, like all over him. So I don't know what happened, but something must have happened.
Yeah. Well, keep us posted. The more Megan Fox pictures, the better on the site, Harvey. I know you got to run into your meeting. Anything real quick on the TV show tonight you want to hit?
It's too early for me to think about that.
Just watch it all.
All right.
Just watch it all. Check your local listings and, of course, TMZ.com. Harvey Levin, thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
See you guys.
You are listening to the K-Rock, the world-famous K-Rock, well said, at 6:38. This is the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday morning. Actor Michael Cera from Year One coming up next hour. Your last shot at breakfast with Incubus tickets. By the way, that live broadcast is going to be on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock with the band Incubus. Looking forward to that. Ralph has highlights from the weekend's Erotica LA, downtown at the Convention Center. And actor Kevin Nealon from the TV show Weeds. Episode 2 of the new season airs tonight on the Showtime. All of that straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, we need to tell you about some fantastic hair products that you need to get. And we have Brian Reichenberg. Is that how I say your name?
That's right.
On the phone.
Perfect.
Hi, Brian. So we may have seen you while doing some channel surfing advertising the Kevis shampoo. You do the commercials for Kevis?
Yes, I do.
All right.
I'm the man.
You're the man. Congratulations. Yep. So Kevis is a name I know, but I don't know too much about it. It's a shampoo is what it is, right?
It's a shampoo and a treatment. The key is understanding what causes hair loss. And it's the bad guy is the male sex hormone testosterone. In 99.99% of the cases in both men and women, the testosterone attacks the follicle. I'm really simplifying it.
Right.
But as it builds up, it causes the hair to thin, then eventually fall out.
See, that's such a surprise to me because I would associate lots of testosterone with making you hairier, making you manlier.
You know, it does. It increases your body hair as you get older, and it makes you more of a man, but on top of your head, that's what kills it. You may see the all these transplant commercials. They're talking about DHT attacking the follicle. Well, it's dihydrotestosterone. It's basically testosterone metabolized.
All right. Now, I'd like to play some of the from the commercial so that people could understand exactly what's going on with this product.
Dr. Stein, a surgeon, and his nurse, Patty O'Hara, have both tried the shampoo. They were so impressed with the results, they market the stuff. The magic ingredient, hyaluronic acid, the penetrating element found.
Found?
In human sperm.
All right.
Oh,
okay.
Whoa. Whoa.
All right.
Whoa.
So what you're saying.
Well, let me warn you first. You can't make this yourself at home.
As, first of all,
as tempting as it is to try.
First of all, yes, I can. You underestimate me.
In human sperm.
Well, picture this. The testosterone is what attacks the follicle. So what we found, originally it started in Japan, where the scientists found the molecule in the human umbilical cord. And basically, it fools your hair. In other words, your hair will accept our molecule that's in our shampoo instead of the testosterone. So it's like musical chairs. Who gets there first, the bad guy or us?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right.
So you actually synthesize that ingredient that is found in human sperm. You synthesize that. You don't actually have a bunch of guys whose job it is to make batter every day.
Are you kidding? This is California. We'd be shut down for carpal tunnel syndrome.
That's an excellent point, yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No, it's cloned in the laboratory. It's very expensive. Today, the cost is close to $64,000 a kilo.
What?
Whoa!
Oh, it's up there. It's
selling it by the kilo, by the way?
Some men are really bald.
We're in the wrong business.
How much do you need? I haven't heard anything except for drugs sold by a kilo.
It's up there. You don't need a lot. But the point is that this molecule that's found in sperm will fool the hair follicle. In
right.
other words, it will accept this molecule over testosterone.
All right, now, this is always my question about stories like this.
Yes.
How did this come about the very first time? Because I'm guessing that doctor and that nurse, or whoever those two were playing some kind of reindeer games, and he was like, no, trust me, no, it's good for you, yeah.
Hey, sometimes research is fun, what
right.
can I say?
I mean, there had to be a first time when someone thought that.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many strange cures. I know my whole family's a cue ball. I'm the only one with hair.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was going to college, when I was in engineering school, and I used to look down at the textbook and I'd see all these hairs falling out.
Right.
And so I went to a Park Avenue specialist in New York, and here was the latest cure back then.
In human sperm.
No, they didn't have it.
Oh,
then. What they used to do is they used to shoot female hormones into your head.
Oh.
Okay. So you grow hair but also boobs.
That's right.
Okay.
You know, the idea was the girl hormone will beat up the testosterone, but you ended up with breasts. So.
I was just kidding, by the way. That was just a joke on my part. I didn't know.
But Brian, whoever it was who figured this out, I mean, something to grow hair for men who are losing hair seems like the holy grail for a lot of people. I mean, there are millions of potential customers out there. Many of them are probably using your Keva shampoo, but I mean, I would think this would be something that would be duplicated by hundreds of other companies because it would be a cash cow if it really worked.
Well, one, it really works. Two is, it is a cash cow. It's one of the largest products in Europe. Pfizer was involved for years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it is very large. But the point is, no one could copy it because the company owns all the patents and making the ingredients, so it can't really be copied.
Hey, wow. Brian, what's the difference between this and something like Rogaine?
Rogaine is
in human sperm.
That's the difference.
Well, the difference is Rogaine increases the amount of blood going to the follicle. That's why it only works for. That's why when you stop using it, your hair falls out, and they warn you about it because you're cutting out now the increased blood supply decreases. And so the hair falls out. The only thing that really works is anything that cuts down the amount of testosterone that goes to the follicle. That's why Propecia works, but it has its own side effects.
Okay. So
is pregnancy.
So does your product bring back hair for people who have already lost it, or does it just stop them from losing anymore?
All right. Now you're hitting on how people get ripped off.
Yes.
Here's how it goes, and here's the facts. You won't hear this from any other hair company. When the follicle stops growing, it stays dormant for 8 to 10 years.
Eight to 10 years?
Right. So if you're a cue ball, we recommend a baseball cap.
Okay, yeah. So okay. It can't, even though you're right, a lot of people market things by saying, oh, if you're losing your hair, this will bring it back.
Yeah, money back guarantee, right. Your hair back. Now, the idea is if you're losing your hair, you need to find out the right product to use. You got to catch it before it's too late. Once those follicles die, they're gone. Nothing's going to bring it back.
Okay, last question for you, Brian. This has been very informative. By the way, Brian Reichenberg on the line is the creator of the Kevis Shampoo. That's KEVIS.com. I'm trying to figure out a way to delicately ask this, but if somebody didn't want to buy the shampoo but wanted to make their own product, would that have the equivalent results, or is there something else in the shampoo besides that one ingredient?
There's more than one ingredient. There's a lot. It's a whole treatment process, and you got to picture this. You're using the penetrating agent of sperm.
Human sperm.
Right, but you're attaching a nutrient chain that will fool the molecules.
I can't manufacture that on my own.
Right, but it does work equally as well on women.
Okay, but wait a minute. Let me. That's how it all got started. All right, but let me ask you this question. Okay, so it's not exactly the same. So it doesn't do everything yours does. Would it help?
You know, there's a lot of theories now.
Guys all over the country are like, please tell me it'll help. Please tell me.
You know something? What's in human sperm is hyaluronic acid.
Mm-hmm.
And women pay over $100 an ounce for it in skin creams.
What?
And it's nowhere near the same quality.
Fantastic.
Okay. So we should put this on our face?
Wow. That's the best question
that Lisa has ever asked.
That's the Kevis. She's saying this product.
Yeah, but what about the Kevin is what Kevin is saying.
No, you can't put Kevis on your face.
Can't. Okay.
No.
But what about...
Human sperm.
Oh, okay. Let's end it right there.
No, it's for your skin, honestly. I've heard that for... 15
You've
years.
Said that for 15
Well,
years.
I've said it a lot too.
Yeah. See, the what works on skin is the hyaluronic acid.
Right.
I don't want to put everyone to sleep, but hyaluronic acid is responsible for maintaining the moisture in your cells.
That's what we're talking
That's
about.
That's what we're saying.
Exactly.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Is it a tough sell, a product that involves that?
I'll give you an idea. We have 40,000 customers that reorder Kevis every year.
Right.
We've been doing this for 14 years, and we have a lot of happy customers. In Europe, they have about 100,000 customers plus. So the fact that it works.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's an easy
That's
sell.
All they
yeah.
care.
All right. Kevis is KEVIS.com. Brian Reichenberg, creator.
Can I give you a phone number?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's 800-245-HAIR. That's 800-245-HAIR. Or Kevis.com.
Fantastic. Brian, thanks for coming on today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Hey, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Monday morning tomorrow at 8 a.m. We're going to be doing Breakfast with Incubus. They are going to be performing live at a super secret location that all of you already know about. We'll be interviewing them. You, the listeners, will be interviewing them. If you're a hardcore Incubus fan, you've not yet been able to win. You do have one chance left coming up next hour.
It's a secret.
Right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph joins us now for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies. At the box office, as we do every Monday morning. Congratulations once again to The Hangover. People love a good comedy.
It is funny.
They always make money when they're well done. And this one is $33.4 million additional dollars this weekend. Pretty strong. It's rapidly going towards the $1 million mark. $100 million mark.
Lisa, did you like it too?
I did. I thought it was really funny.
Up. The Pixar Disney animated film, also doing very well for itself, $30.5 million, made it number two. The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 in its debut was third with $25 million. Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian came in at number four. Land of the Lost was fifth, and imagine that, Star Trek, Terminator Salvation, Angels and Demons, and Drag Me to Hell. That could all be one movie. Rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Sad news for Nine Inch Nails fans. Trent Reznor announced at the Bonnaroo Festival in Manchester, Tennessee, this weekend that was the final live performance of Nine Inch Nails.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No!
At least here in the States.
No!
Yeah.
No!
Yep.
No!
Yes. Trent Reznor told the crowd, "It just dawned on me, this is our last show ever in the United States."
No!
Don't be sad.
No! No!
He said, "I'll keep going, but I think I'm going to lose my mind if I keep doing this and I have to stop," meaning touring and playing live. So
he does seem a little tortured most of the time, Trent does.
He's done this his whole career, though. He'll disappear for 5 years
or
something.
No, this is it. This is it.
But what does he mean?
No!
But when he says this is it, what does he mean?
This is it.
No!
This is it. This is it. You know, HBO's got the new show debuting, Hung.
Yes.
About a
story of my life.
About a dude who doesn't have much going for himself except for the size of his manhood and tries to cash in on that by becoming a male escort.
Even with a lot of talent in singing, even with a lot of talent in whatever you choose to do.
William Hung? No? That's not what we're talking
no,
about?
No, it's not.
Sorry.
That's a pretty drop, though.
Yeah.
It's good quality.
It sounded good.
It's good quality, and it wasn't a stretch.
It sounded
so
good.
You got that going for you.
So everyone's talking about this show, and I ran across a list yesterday of the 20 most famous men with giant penises.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
I thought you might would like to... What?
Because we were going to do that, and we never
did.
We're
going to do it Friday, yeah.
I know. I didn't have time Friday, so I brought it in today.
Excellent.
Thought you might be interested.
We are.
The 20th on the list, Simon Rex. Dude from MTV.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
I wondered how he keeps getting jobs.
Apparently, he's packing. There's some surprises on this list, by the way.
Do they get this from dates? Or I mean, how do they...
This is the legend.
Women that
this
have
is
been
women who have been talking
start
about
to
it.
Swirl okay. around.
And women
yeah.
talk openly, and people are asked often, hey, did you hear about it? And they will confirm or deny. So this is, to the best of their knowledge, men who are packing.
All right.
Dan Rather.
Nope.
CBS News anchorman Dan Rather.
Nope. Hmm.
He is, he's got tonight's lead story in his pants, apparently. 18th, Ray J.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mike, can you verify? You've seen the video.
Seen the video?
Yeah, Ray J's putting in work.
Yeah,
right?
I can verify that.
He's got action, that's for sure. I mean, he's got the motion in the ocean, if you know what I'm saying. He destroyed
And most people would never expect to see such a big one.
Okay, yeah, Tony Danza.
Okay.
Wow.
Hold me closer, Tony Danza. I thought that song was written about him.
I don't think that's...
Tony Kanaal, our buddy from No Doubt.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, according to this story.
Kind of a small guy.
He is, he's working with a decade, with 10
really?
Inches.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Anthony Kiedis. Apparently he's got a very large penis, according to the groupies.
It's big. Grows up to 10 feet long. Can weigh more than 1,000 pounds.
No, that's not the case at all.
1,000
The groupies
pounds.
Talk, by the way. They share a lot of this information. That's where we get a lot of it from. I don't know the guy, but his name is Peter Andre. Apparently, he is a model who is married to Katy Price, who's Jordan from the UK.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Here's a guy on both lists.
What? Big and small?
So take this for what it's worth. I've got a list of the 20 biggest, and then I've got another list of the 17 smallest that I'll be doing in the next hour, because I'm running out of time. But... one man appears on both lists.
Okay.
So how dependable can this information be?
Not at all.
Colin Farrell, number 13th on the biggest list.
Well, we can
I can verify that.
See.
I don't...
You can't really see in the video. That's the problem. He's got the ball fro.
Ball fro, yeah.
There's a lot of fro
true.
There.
Yeah, it's hard
that's
to see.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, if he took a weed whacker down there, maybe he would gain
but
7 or 9 inches.
From what you can see, I wouldn't put him on the smallest list.
No.
I don't... Yeah, I guess...
James Woods.
We have heard
actor
that.
James
yeah.
Woods. Actor Errol Flynn. Legendary actor Errol Flynn played Robin Hood in the movies. Apparently, quite the unit.
Look at that! It's the size of my head. You could barely fit your fingers around it.
All right, take it easy.
President Lyndon Baines Johnson, LBJ, president in the '60s.
He's from Texas.
Often was a he was a lifelong exhibitionist who would often put his penis on display. Claimed friends. He nicknamed it Jumbo.
What happened to our presidents? I would like that to still be the case.
What kind of president we want?
Yeah,
Frank Sinatra.
Sure.
Apparently was working with it. Tommy Lee, of course.
Sure.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Number 8th on the list. Wilt Chamberlain.
Sure.
9th on the list. Comedian Milton Berle. Legendarily.
Legendarily.
Has a large unit. Number 5, Vincent Gallo. Actor Vincent Gallo. You can see in Tetro, the new movie coming out by Francis Ford Coppola.
Okay.
This coming weekend. Apparently he's got going for himself. John Holmes, of course. Legendary porn star. We've all seen proof of that. Jay-Z. Number 3rd on the list.
How about that?
Number 2, Liam Neeson.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Janice Dickinson, the original supermodel.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask her. I used to date him, and she wrote in her autobiography that he unzipped his pants and an Evian bottle fell out. That's how she coined it. So apparently. And the number 1, he's not really a movie star, but he is famous. Russian mystic Rasputin. Number 1 on the list.
Really?
Rasputin.
Okay.
Mystic for the royal family in Russia during the days of the Tsar.
Hmm.
Is you can see the proof, actually, by the way, in a museum in St. Petersburg, Russia.
They have it?
They have his penis in a jar.
Okay.
Well, there's a fitting tribute.
And it measures 11 inches without being excited.
Wow.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Yes, it is. So good for you, Rasputin.
I am so shocked.
You're shocked about Rasputin?
That our friend David Duchovny is not on that list, who is the modern legendary.
Yes.
I also heard...
He's no Rasputin, though.
Apparently not.
I also heard recently Jay Leno, by the way. I know that sounds ridiculous, but...
Well, I guess these are the legendary ones, the stories that have been going around for a long, long time. Maybe those stories just aren't as well told.
All right. So smallest next hour?
Next hour, I'll give you the 17 most famous men with tiny weenies.
Psycho Mike on the list?
This list had to be shorter, I guess, than the big one. You know what I'm saying? Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Jim Belushi is 20. Nope. He's 55. He's not even close to being 20. Susan Boyle, that hideous woman from Britain's Got Talent.
Harry Angel?
She is 48. Helen Hunt turns 46. Courtney Cox. Have you seen the new commercials for her Cougar Town show?
Yeah.
Her in the little underwear get up there? Not too bad.
Nope.
45 years old today. Rapper Ice Cube turns 40. Leah Remini from King of Queens is 39. Actor Jake Busey, whose dad is Gary Busey. Imagine your dad being Gary Busey. Most times when you're a kid, you think your dad embarrasses you.
Yeah.
What if you're Jake Mother effing Busey? He is 38 years old. And Neil Patrick Harris, of course, Doogie Howser, now can be seen on How I Met Your Mother. He is 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The Lakers are NBA champions once again. L.A. wins the 2009 NBA title.
So we got a few Afro calls here at the world-famous K-Rock. Just a couple of them about the Lakers.
Wait.
Lakers! Lakers! Woo! Lakers!
What about those Lakers?
Woo! Lakers! Lakers! Lakers!
Lakers! Lakers! Lakers!
I like that last guy. Yeah.
So I missed it. So what happened?
How dare you?
Hey, it's Kevin Beach on the world famous K-Rock. Next hour, 1 hour from right now, we want to talk to you if you got yourself a TV in the riots last night, first of all. And coming up in about 15 minutes, if you're an Incubus fan and you want to be among the final people to get into our Breakfast with Incubus tomorrow morning, you can call right now 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for hardcore, big-time certified Incubus crazy fans. That's what we're looking for this time. We're only going to be giving it to the crazy people.
Right. So we don't need, I've never been to a concert before.
Yeah, don't need that.
Right?
I took time off from my job to follow them across America and have seen them 37 times. That's what we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067.
All right, let's talk about the new limited edition K-Rock sticker, which we are unveiling today. You can pick it up at any Del Taco, and you could win your own. Here's what you can win with it. You ready?
Yes. Okay.
Private concert with 311.
Yeah.
And a 2010 Kia Soul.
Yeah.
That sounds like a new car.
Now, that's the car, if I'm not mistaken, that had all of the cute little mice driving it in the commercials during the basketball game.
I thought those were guinea pigs.
I don't know what they are. Well, who cares?
Were they guinea pigs?
Rats, mice. They were cute. Whatever they are, they were bobbing their heads. That's all I know. So we're going to talk to Beer Mug right now. Hi, Beer Mug.
First of all, they were hamsters.
Hamsters. Is that what they were?
Sorry about that.
So we're all wrong. Okay.
All right. So the Kia Soul is what you win. The private concert with 311. I don't get the connection. How does getting a K-Rock sticker at Del Taco entitle you to win all those things, Beer Mug?
Well, first of all, you get to see my pretty face. I'll be down in Ontario today at the Del Taco on 4340 Mill Circle. Come down.
I'd like to strike that as non-responsive. Yeah. I mean, I know that's part of the information, but
I get a sticker at Del Taco, then how do I magically end up with a new car at a free 311 concert? I'm trying to put two and two together here.
All you got to do is fill out the back of the sticker.
There you go. Fill out the back of the sticker, send it in, or you can do it online, and then we'll do a drawing.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, you get a car and a concert. That's it.
Nice.
Yeah. That's not bad.
And then I get to deliver it to a non-home person.
To a non-home person. Right, yeah. That's the way our contests usually work, is we ring the doorbell.
No one's
and there's
there.
No one there. And then we go, okay.
It's a little bit of a whimper,
do
right?
Do I just leave it? What do I do?
Beer Mug, you worked all night last night, right?
Yes, I'm very, I was going to take a shower this morning, but I'm all out of my semen shampoo, and I'm just...
yeah, well, wow. How scary was that? That was a little frightening, that dude.
Yeah.
So where are you today? Give us that info again.
Yeah, I'm going to be at 4-3-4... No.
This is the kickoff of the K-Rock sticker campaign for summer 2009. We actually do need the information as to where Beer Mug's going to be.
Yes, don't thrill me or danger zone me. Thank you.
Come on.
Sorry, go
ahead. Beer Mug is tired. He just wants to do this and go back to bed.
Exactly. 4340 Mill Circle in Ontario from noon to 2.
From noon to 2.
Oh, okay. From noon to 2. Okay. So that's if they want to come out and meet you, get the sticker.
Yes.
But you can get the sticker at any Del Taco in Southern California, whether you're there or not, right?
Correct. That is correct.
Okay. Now, here's a question we ask every year, because there are brighter minds than ours working on this behind the scenes. What's new with the K-Rock sticker this year? Does it still have the K, the R, the O, and the Q?
It has all that, and it has a nice little very summer beach theme with bamboo and wood. It looks really cool.
Bamboo and wood is a summer beach theme.
Yeah.
That's how you're describing it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a cool-looking K-Rock sticker. It's not completely different. It does still involve those four letters, for example.
All right.
Correct.
All right. So this is just unveiled today. While they last, you can get them for free. You can show your K-Rock courtesy of Del Taco. All Southern California locations should have the K-Rock sticker. If you go to one that doesn't, please let us know, and we'll see what we can do about that. And you fill out the back and you mail it in, then you can win your own private concert with the great L.A. band 311. Also a brand new car. It's a 2010 Kia Soul. One more time, Beer Mug. For folks who want to shake your hand today, where are you going to be?
4340 Mill Circle in Ontario.
All right. Beer Mug, you're doing good work.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man. Sir, you're excited?
Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 28 minutes after 7 o'clock.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That sounds like an all-skate song or something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A little bit from that American Idol guy. All right.
The
Kevin and...
What? The Fray. That's from The Fray.
Doesn't matter. It's exactly the same. It's Kevin and Bean Show. Actor Michael Cera from Year One coming up in about 10 minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got highlights from his visit to Erotica LA over the weekend. And next hour, Kevin Nealon will be joining us talking about tonight's weeds.
So, we're doing Breakfast with Incubus tomorrow. We've been giving away tickets for about a week now.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to look for the biggest fans. We're not fans of doing this kind of contest because it's hard to tell if people are lying or exaggerating. And then you start feeling bad because if they got great stories, you really want to give them tickets. Maybe you don't have enough.
Right,
but
right.
This is the last chance. So we figured we'd give some people a last chance to join us tomorrow morning and help interview the band.
Well, plus we've been hearing from Incubus fans who are like, they're my whole life and I can't get through. I've been trying to win every hour for a week. And what can I do? So this is at least your chance to pitch it directly.
And by the way, here's the other funny thing. We do contests and we have terrible contestants that know nothing about the band.
That's
so these people that really love Incubus are out there going, I'm going to kill somebody. So now's your chance to tell us why you need to go. Chelsea, hi.
Hi. Oh my gosh, I'm like so excited.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you as well. Tell us about your love for Incubus.
Oh my gosh, I love them so much. I've been like getting up at 4 a.m. in the morning and like calling you guys constantly, and I just love them so much. Their lyrics and their music and the fact that they just give out to everyone and that they're so dedicated to their fans and that they're coming back, I'm just so happy.
Wow. Now here's the fine line that we have to walk.
Right.
Because
she's annoying. Do we really want to hang out with her tomorrow?
Right. We're going to do the Breakfast with Incubus, but if she's just going to be a crying mess, then how does that help us? I mean, we need people that have questions and all that.
Let me ask you this. Speaking of questions, if you get the opportunity, you got the mic in your hand, you get a chance to talk to Incubus, what are you going to ask him tomorrow, Chelsea?
My question, I would probably ask them, what drives them to write their lyrics and, what moves them, because I'm so inspired by them.
Yeah, well, look, that really is...
It's boring, right?
No, but it's probably the number one question that people have.
The more boring question that people have, right.
Because it's been asked a lot of times. That's why Bean's being a dick about
it's boring.
But, but that's what people who are inspired by the lyrics want to know.
Sure.
Hey, Chelsea?
Eight
o'clock tomorrow morning, you'll be listening to the Kevin and Bean Show to hear Breakfast with Incubus. Congratulations. No, I said you'll be listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the radio to hear Breakfast with Incubus.
Nah, we'll give you tickets.
Oh.
We'll give you tickets.
But you can't do that.
That's
do not make
want.
That noise.
That's what you want tomorrow.
I promise not to make that noise tomorrow.
Well, I swear I won't.
All right. All right, you're in. Okay, thank you. Bye.
She's on you, dude. I'm telling you what.
I know. It could be a mistake.
We may have to carry her out.
You're totally vouching for her.
We may have to carry her out.
All right, why don't we try Oren? He is on line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Oren. What's going on with you and Incubus?
Hey, how's it going? How's it going, Kevin Bean? How are you today?
Hello. Oh, good. Hi, Oren. What's going on? Hey, how are you? What's going on?
I'm sorry. I'm really excited right now. I've been following Incubus since 2000. I first saw him at Weenie Road 2000 when he was up at Edison Field. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I got exposed to them. I only know that one song they played on the air, and ever since then, I just got blown away by the sound, and I've been following ever since. Like, last tour, I think I've seen him at least 12, 14 times. I have tickets to prove it. Wow. I drove in all night, all the way to Red Rocks Amphitheater, because I thought that was the most amazing venue I've ever seen him.
Wow.
I went to see, I actually got a VIP thing where I went to, you know, the meet and greet, and actually from Vegas, but then I kind of snuck in using the same tag to go see him over in the LA Forum.
Do you think that the meth will wear off by tomorrow morning?
You know, no, not really.
Not really, okay.
If I get excited, I talk like a mile a minute.
All right.
Oren, I'm fine with you being at the breakfast.
Yeah, I am too, yeah.
He's committed.
You are definitely committed. So you get a chance to see Incubus one more time.
But if you're going to ask a question or anything like that, you're going to have to slow it down just a little.
I'll probably pass out. I don't know.
All right. That's what we're looking for, too.
Now, two people we have to
people
carry
to pass out.
Now, I wonder if any of these people on hold already have restraining orders from the band.
We should totally been asking them.
Yes.
Because they tell
stupid.
The truth.
Because they are crazy, right?
All right. Let's go to Larissa. Hi, Larissa.
Hello.
Turns out a lot of girls love
I'm
the Incubus.
Really excited. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell us why you're the biggest fan.
Well, I've been following since 2000 also. It was the first time I seen them. My dad bought me tickets for my birthday.
Mm.
I've been to every single show since they've been back to L.A. We drove out to Paso Robles to see them at the fair.
Mm.
I have every magazine, every import CD, every regular CD, every DVD.
Wow.
Everything. And I have
Do you have books of art?
A lot of useless information.
You have useless information. Okay, like what?
A lot of useless. Like Brandon's first tattoo. I know where it's at, when he got it, and with whom he got it.
Okay.
Okay, that's stalkerazzi is what that is.
Yeah, I'm borderline stalker.
Okay.
That's what we're looking for.
She's being honest.
Yeah.
Right, but you understand you're going to have to climb over Lisa Mae's dead body to get to Brandon tomorrow, right? You understand there's some serious competition.
I will body block you.
That's not the only reason why I like the band, though.
All right, but Larissa, does the band have a restraining order against you?
Not yet.
Okay. No. Not yet. Okay, good.
I have met Mike and Brandon. I've met the both of them. And
okay.
They seem like they were not looking for a restraining order yet.
Good. Okay.
We will see you tomorrow, my dear. Thank you for calling.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
All right.
Let's squeeze in Erica on line 7, please, on the Kevin and Bean Show. Michael Sarah from year 1 is going to join us here in a couple minutes. First, we're lining up some final people to get into our breakfast with Incubus. Hi, Erica.
Yeah, Eric.
Good morning.
Hi. Tell us about why you need to come to the show. Are you a big fan?
I'm a huge fan. I've seen them 9 times. I also did what the other guy did. I did, like, the meet and greet. I spent, like, $500 to do that. I have, like, all their CDs. I knew all those stupid Strinkiness songs.
Strinkiness.
Now,
you're one of the people that hear the contestants on the air and you go, I can't
believe. No.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That has to be so frustrating when you're the biggest fan of a band and you hear lamos who don't know the first thing about them trying to win the tickets.
Exactly. I even own a string quartet Incubus CD.
Wow.
That is a terrible idea. Those are bad.
All right. I have been told that you've offered to show up naked tomorrow. She said shampoo.
I know, but
whatever.
There's a little context that people need.
I'll do anything for these tickets.
All right.
You don't have to do anything, Erica. You're invited to come to the breakfast. We'll look forward to seeing you.
Wait, wait. Restraining order?
No restraining order.
Then you're in. Okay. Congratulations.
All right. We are out of time, but Incubus tomorrow morning live on the radio. We'll be asking questions. The audience will be asking questions. They'll be playing live. It's going to be cool. It's going to be 8 o'clock tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I just want to say thank God for Michael Cera, because not all of us can be Hugh Jackman, and it's nice to see a regular guy becoming a big-time movie star. Welcome back, Michael Cera, to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Great to talk to you. Year 1, you and Jack Black opens up this Friday. I've been dying to talk to you about this because I'm obsessed with Harold Ramis. He's like my favorite guy in comedy of all time ever, and he directed this movie. Tell me about him.
He's amazing. He's just as cool as he would hope he is in real life.
So he doesn't disappoint? Because most of the time when you have high hopes for somebody, then you meet them, it's almost impossible for him to kind of live up to that.
Yeah.
I know, but, you know, I had extremely high hopes for Harold, and he never let me down.
It's just got to be so weird. Look, I know you're a big-time actor, and you've worked with lots of big stars, but there have to be days where you get up and you go to work, and you go, that's the dude from Ghostbusters. That's the Stripes guy.
Everything. I never got over it once.
All right. Let's talk about year 1. Anyone who watched a minute of the NBA Finals certainly has seen you and Jack Black pimping out the movie. But for folks who have been under a rock, what's year 1 all about?
About these two guys that are friends and start to question the rules of the world that they're living in. Jack starts to kind of have these existential thoughts, you know, and decides to leave the tribe and see what else is out there.
And you, and he talks you into going with him?
I go with him under duress.
Okay.
All right. So it's your basic caveman comedy, and you get to wear silly wigs.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, a couple scenes that I have not seen clips from but that I have heard about, I wanted to ask you about. Is it true that there is a scene where you are hanging completely upside down?
Yeah, there's the, yeah, that's right.
And what's that? I mean, what happens in the movie, and what's that like for you as an actor to have to do that?
Well, we're just being held in this dungeon, and they put me upside down.
Excellent.
You know, it was crazy to have to be upside down for like 4 hours, you know.
4 hours? I thought you'd die. Your head would explode after four hours.
Like, only for like a minute at a time.
Oh, I see. All right.
Come down and catch my breath. go back to my body.
That sounds awful. And is there another scene where you get painted gold, like in the movie Goldfinger?
Yeah.
And how does that happen? How do you work that in? I can't picture a lot of guys painting back in year one.
Yeah, well, there's like this big orgy scene, and they have people painted gold to look like statues.
Okay, all right. I need to party with you.
Oh, that again.
Yeah.
What can you tell me about the orgy scene? That's what you ought to be focusing on in these ads.
No, all I remember is having this really uncomfortable gold paint all over my body, and they also put this really kind of shimmery gold powder on top of the paint to make it look really, you know, just really shiny, and that, that gold powder kind of starts to dig into your skin after a while.
And that's all you remember of an orgy scene. Wow, that's
ruined it for you.
They did. They didn't let you enjoy it.
But I thought, I mean, going back to Goldfinger, which is the first time I ever saw somebody painted gold, was in the James Bond movie. I mean, that's what killed her, is that she was painted gold. It seems like you can't really cover up all the pores on your skin for very long.
Yeah, your skin kind of starts to suffocate.
Were they trying to kill you? Because hanging you upside down for 4 hours.
I mean, it's such an elaborate way to kill someone, though.
Right, but it does seem like too much work.
It would avoid suspicion.
Like 4 hours to get it on.
Tell me about your buddy Jack Black. Did you guys know each other?
No, we'd just met once really briefly before this movie, but this was the first time we ever got to work together.
He seems like the kind of guy that would improv a lot.
Yeah, he definitely does. He gets these ideas on the spot and just goes with them, which is really admirable. You know, he just gets the whim and trust it.
Boy, I'll tell you, it seems like it takes a certain amount of confidence to do that, considering when you're making a movie, there are hundreds of people, you know, for the camera people and everybody else. They have to shoot it again if you blow it.
Yeah.
It would take a lot of confidence to try and pull that stuff off.
Yeah, and you don't want to ruin a good take, you know, that maybe everyone else really likes. You know, it takes a lot of courage.
And, and it also seems like you've got other actors around, like in this case you, and you're trying to remember your lines. You know what you're supposed to say next, and then he throws you a curveball, and you've pretty much got to go with that.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, that's a blast.
It has a great cast. You got Oliver Platt, who I love. You got David Cross, who I love. You have Christopher Mintz-Plasse, who I love.
Wow.
You have Vinnie Jones, who I love.
Wow, all these people. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, awesome people. Paul Rudd, too, you know. And,
he's great.
Kyle Gass is in the movie.
Kyle Gass, yeah.
Wow.
There's a whole lot of amazing actors in it.
Well, the good news is you're coming out on Friday, so everyone's seen The Hangover, so they'll be ready for a new comedy.
Right, that's good.
Well, we're very much looking forward to year one opening up everywhere. I can't wait to see it. Michael, it's always great to have you on, man.
Thanks. It was good to talk to you guys.
Thank you. Bye now.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, looking ahead toward tomorrow, not only do we have Breakfast with Incubus for you at 8 o'clock, we'll also talk to Justin Bartha. He plays the groom in The Hangover.
Man, is he orange.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that is an orange.
Man,
orange,
does he get too much sun.
Orange-red dude.
He's also in National Treasure. That's probably we know him best.
Yes, that's right.
He was Riley. He was Nick Cage's partner in all those films.
Also, we'll talk to our friend Jay, the creator of Hot Chicks with Douchebags, find out what's new with him, and a recap of Dave, the King of Mexico, and I hanging out with Finnish supermodels at the L.A. consulate tonight.
Which that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Dave and me in a steam bath with a couple of Miss Helsinki 2007s. I'm just guessing. I don't know that they're Miss Helsinki 2007.
Of all the people you're going to meet tonight, I guarantee you supermodels and Miss Helsinki's will not be on the list.
It could be Miss Helsinki 1907.
It could be Miss Hell.
I'm just saying.
No Sinky.
A recap of me in a sauna with Dave the King of Mexico on tomorrow morning's show.
I'm saying you are frail.
I am saying that Ralph Garman is here with the showbiz beat for a Monday morning. What the hell's going on?
You are flimsy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying about you.
You guys want to come along?
Nope.
Finnish consulate.
Nope.
It's going to be fun.
Wow. Bean's going there on vacation, and they invited him to take a sauna, and he thinks they're all supermodels.
I think it's
going
to be fun.
That's why. That's why Dave has to go, because Bean would come back and go, "Oh, they were the hottest ever.
You've never seen such hot women before in your life."
No, Dave wants to go because Finland is famous for its vodka. That's why he wants to go, because they promised vodka.
I'm just on the verge of vomit just thinking of Bean in a sauna.
I know.
All hunched over with his hair just even more greasy, dripping
just
with sweat.
Laying down by the side of his face, him all spina bifida, just hunched over.
My little twink.
Sweating in a towel.
Do you think his spina bifida would get more extreme in the heat? You think it curls him up more?
Hey,
even?
Guys, I can hear you. A body with that much dough might rise like a loaf of bread in that heat. That's what I'm afraid of.
Hey, guys, he might become
baked like a gingerbread man.
I can hear you guys talking about it.
And then she'll say, "Would you like some vodka?"
I'm not a drinker, but in this case, I'll take 7. Because you're hideous.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun for us when we hear about it tomorrow.
We're going to shoot some video, too.
Oh, jeez. Maybe we shouldn't. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Wait.
What?
I forgot the showbiz.
All right, let's do showbiz news, shall we? Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. The Hangover, still number one. $33.4 million made it so this weekend. Up was number two with a little over $30 million. Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 in its debut was third on the list with $25 million. Then Night of the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian, Land of the Lost, Imagine That, Star Trek, Terminator Salvation, Angels and Demons, and then Drag Me to Hell at number 10 to round out top 10. Thanks to Variety for that information. Nine Inch Nails fans, big, big trouble. Big story? You bet.
You bet.
At the Bonnaroo Festival, Trent Reznor told the crowd, "It just dawned on me, this is our last show ever in the United States."
How does it just dawn on
him? Hey, wait a minute.
Isn't that kind of a big deal?
Yeah. They did an early morning set on Sunday at the Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival in Manchester, Tennessee. He told the crowd, "Don't be sad, I'll keep going, but I'm going to lose my mind if I keep doing this, and I have to stop."
What do you think that's about?
I don't know.
I think certain people get destroyed by touring, and he's one of them. Yeah. You know, just loses energy, loses heart, and has
he's
to rebuild.
He's been little Mr. Cranky Pants for a while
he
now.
He has, yeah.
He doesn't want anybody tweeting him anymore. He's angry at the tweeters.
Can't imagine life on the road for that long, away from home and everything. That would drive me crazy, too. But
he hasn't for been some out. Guys, that is the glorious moment of their life. They do the albums and they do all the other crap just so they can get up on stage and perform for the people.
But then some dude asks him,
"What if your name was Asshore?"
He's happy with that.
Yeah.
Enough of that.
I mentioned the last hour that this new HBO series, Hung, starring Thomas Jane, is getting a lot of attention. It's about a guy with an overly endowed manhood who tries to make money off of it. And because of that, there was a couple lists released last week we didn't get a chance to get to of the top 20 largest celebrities and then the top 17 famous men with not so much in the pants department. So I did the biggest last hour. I thought maybe I'd hit the list of the 17 famous men with tiny weenies.
Okay.
In this particular hour.
Now, Psycho Mike is or is not on the list?
He is 7th through 3rd on the list, which I thought was... he's got multiple places on the list, which I thought was surprising. All right, here are your top 17. Where's the third page of this? I've only got 10 here. Oh, no, here it is. Okay. Ben Affleck, number 17.
Is that right?
Yeah. We got this information from Michael Clark Duncan, his co-star in Armageddon. "Don't get me wrong, ladies," Michael Clark Duncan said. "Ben is cool, but I've seen the guy naked. And come on, man, I was not impressed at all."
Yeah, but he's Michael Clark Duncan.
True.
Come on.
You know, he has just got a Duraflame in his pants, you know?
Everyone looks like that to him. That's not right.
Shia LaBeouf. We heard it from the man himself.
Yeah, he told us, yeah.
Yeah, he told Playboy magazine in an interview. He said, "I am not extremely well endowed."
Wow, you have the smallest one I've ever seen.
Enrique Iglesias.
Aye.
Apparently not that well endowed.
But still gets Anna Kornikova.
I know.
Yeah,
that doesn't seem right in any way, does it? I mentioned that Colin Farrell was on the list of the largest men, famous large men. He's also on the list here, number 14, for having a tiny weenie. We've seen the evidence to the contrary, but Colin is very self-effacing and says, "Let me tell you, it's nothing to effing write home about his
that
manhood.
That looks like a penis, only smaller."
13, Nick Lachey.
Ooh.
Jessica Simpson has said...
Yeah, great.
"He didn't pack too well, if you know what I mean. But you've got an axe to grind."
Yeah.
True.
Keep that axe away from his unit, too, by the way. Johnny Knoxville. He has himself compared his less-than-impressive manhood to a light switch and an egg in a nest.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's a guy who's not afraid to tell the truth right there. Jude Law, sadly for the ladies.
Wow.
A paparazzo once caught him changing into his swimsuit in France and took some photos that he never released. He said, let me tell you, he's no Tommy Lee, that's for sure.
Why is he such a jerk to everybody?
Because he has a very, very small penis.
Sean Connery will be happy about this. Daniel Craig.
Oh, really?
Doesn't have much going on in the pants department. He's got a micro penis, according to people on set who were there during his lovemaking scenes in Casino Royale. Howard Stern, of course, has historically talked about his small unit.
Right. Sure.
Fred Durst, apparently, not packing much in the pants department. Or in the talent department, either.
we know that for a fact, too, from that short-lived cell phone video,
right.
Sex video.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's got an excuse, though.
That's true, all the roids. You can't make it bigger through exercise. That's for sure, Schwarzenegger once said about himself, down under. Ashton Kutcher.
Funny.
His ex, Brittany Murphy, once told us, to him, age doesn't matter, he said about his relationship with Demi Moore. And to her, size must not matter. Eminem. His ex-wife Kim has said that he is not got much going on down there.
You know how they always say that there's no such thing as bad publicity?
Yeah, sometimes.
In this case?
Wrong.
Well, I would like to say that how people look when they are not happy
right.
is not necessarily representative
true.
Of yeah, how
but
they are
these
happy.
Are ex-girlfriends. This is Brittany Murphy for Ashton Kutcher, Kim Kim Mathers.
They would know.
For Eminem. They would see it
would
in all
states.
Would you
trust Kim Mathers?
They would, but if they're exes, you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt and get, yeah. get a second opinion.
Fourth on the list, Dustin Diamond.
Yeah.
Screech doesn't have much.
No, I couldn't be happier about
Screech
that.
Screech is a scratch.
Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
I saw a picture of him.
Apparently
from
his wand is not magical. I guess that's what
that.
We're saying. Danny Bonaducci does not have much going on down
yeah.
there. And the number one most famous person with a minus penis, Napoleon. Legendary general Napoleon, French general Napoleon. Here's the problem with him. He had his unit chopped off at one point during a battle.
Oh, wow.
That yeah. is that's a harsh battle right there.
Yeah.
You just killed me.
And whoever found it didn't know what they were looking at. What the hell's that? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Jim Belushi from The World According to Jim is 55 years old today. John Belushi's gone. Jim Belushi's 55.
Yeah. yeah.
That's all I got to tell you about the fairness in the world. Susan Boyle, she was the big star that came off of Britain's Got Talent this year. Even though she came in second place, 48 years old today. Helen Hunt turns 46. Courtney Cox has got a new series coming up on ABC called Cougarama. Cougar. The Cougar. Cougar.
Cougarific.
Cougar
I don't remember what that is.
I don't know. I think it's Cougar Town.
Cougar
maybe?
Town.
Maybe that's it. It's got to be better than Dirt.
That's right.
Her last one.
She's 45. Rapper, actor Ice Cube turns 40.
Yeah.
Leah Remini is 39 years old today. Actor Jake Busey celebrates his 38th birthday. And Neil Patrick Harris, Doogie Howser, M.D., also, of course, the star of How I Met Your Mother. He is 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is the new one from Linkin Park. Tomorrow, at this time, breakfast with a little band we like to call Incubus. You know why we like to call them that, Lisa May?
Is it their name?
That's their name, yeah.
Okay.
So that'll be breakfast with Incubus tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So last night, I turned on my TV and I thought, wow, these riots in Tehran with the president being reelected, maybe stealing the election, they're just getting out of control. I saw
but
this crowd like
understand
tens
it.
Of thousands of people, and they're turning over cars and setting
sure.
fires and fireworks and busting out windows. I thought, what's
yep.
going on? Iran looks bad.
That was not, that was Southern California.
Turns out it was yeah. downtown LA.
Yeah.
And getting some flashbacks here of 2000. This is exactly how it started in 2000 after the championship win. First there were the mosh pits, and then these small fires started up with fans jumping through the flames. You can see that LAPD, unlike 2000, has actually moved in very aggressively here. You can see a skirmish line, a squad coming in here. Where they're going to come in, they're going to come in and they're going to form a circle outside to keep the crowds out of this area. They're going to extinguish this fire, get it under control, and then let everybody start celebrating again. But this is a great move by LAPD to get this fire quelled right away, just calm the crowd down. But what we're seeing here is we were watching this fire, people grabbing and throwing lit T-shirts into the crowd, and people dodging these flames here just a few minutes ago, right before we came live. So this is, again, one bad sign that same type of thing that happened in 2000, starting fires and mosh pits. But so far, LAPD doing an excellent job of being aggressive, getting here and stopping this fire, and there it goes, and it's extinguished.
Come on now.
Okay, I have many thoughts. First of all, you never hear him suck the helium, yet clearly that's what he's doing to make his voice that high, right?
Yeah, that's
first
true.
Of all. Second of all, the police form a big circle around the jerks. I mean, that's basically what
no,
they were doing.
That's not what they're doing at
that's
all.
That's what they were
well,
doing.
Well, sort of, yeah, but I don't think they used those words.
Those were Orlando Magic t-shirts that the crowd was burning last
right.
night. I thought the...
At what point can you not burn an Orlando Magic shirt?
When you're throwing it at me, just standing there.
Come on with everybody acting like this is all bad.
If you were there downtown by Staples Center, give us a call real quick at 1-800-520-1067 because we're trying to get into the mindset of, hey, I'm really, really happy. My favorite team just won a championship. And how does it go from that to, oh, I'm going to set this place on fire? I'm going to burn this mother down.
I can't speak on behalf of these people, but I do love fire.
I know you do.
And it isn't all that far of a stretch for me to be excited about something and then light something on fire.
But what's the connection between sports and arson? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Fire is always fun, first of all, unless it, you know, hurts people. But at that point, it wasn't hurting anyone. They were going to. Here's what I liked about that report, though. They're going to circle them. They're going to put out the fire. And then let them celebrate again.
Well, this is what they were trying to do. They were trying to, the police have a very difficult job because you want to allow people to be out there, as is their First Amendment right, by the way, to congregate and to celebrate. You want right. to allow them to be, but where do you stop? Where do you, you know, where do you say, okay, now you're crossing a line and you're celebrating too much? I mean, listen to this guy.
I think I think LA need to have another motherfucking riot so people wake the fuck up because I'm sick of that shit.
You don't need that guy, right?
I think that was OJ.
Oh, maybe. It was one of many riots. I can't.
That's a very different riot. This was not terrible, was it? I mean.
Well, no, it wasn't.
No, I mean, they certainly kept it contained.
It wasn't Detroit in 84 where they burned the city down or
right,
anything like
that's
that.
That's Detroit. They were all looking for a reason to burn that city down.
But, I mean, we talked to Harvey Levin earlier today, and he says basically it's just opportunistic criminals. They see an opportunity to be able to get away with vandalism or get away with arson or something like that. So that's what they decide to do.
All right, let's talk to Marvin, who was there. Marvin, hi.
What's going on?
Hi, Marvin.
You were down at Staples Center last night?
Yes, I was.
You get a TV?
No.
Oh, right. Man, come on.
What was going on? What flipped the switch between, hey, we're partying, yay, the Lakers won, and I'm going to F some S up?
A bunch of drunken people.
Yeah. Alcohol usually adds to that mix.
That makes sense.
How much law enforcement was down there?
What happened?
How much law enforcement was down there? I mean, were there police on horses and stuff? They have the riot gear out? What was the situation like?
Well, first, it was all good. We were all just, like, giving high five people passing on in their cars. And then next, you know, we see cops in riot gear. I'm like, all right, we should leave.
at any point down there at Staples Center, did you see the FBI?
The FBI? The FBI? What was that?
I don't know. Just asking. I was just wondering if maybe they were there.
He's asking if they showed up. No? Oh, we're losing him.
Okay.
He said he took a picture with a cop last night. It didn't sound like that.
Was... That's going to be in my MySpace.
Fantastic.
All right. Good for you. Let's talk to Ryan real quick. He's on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ryan. How was the party last night?
Oh, it was awesome, man. How you doing?
Good.
Says you were one of three guys last night.
One of three Caucasians.
Okay. What? Say again?
One of three Caucasians.
You're one of three white guys in the whole crowd?
That's what it seemed like.
Because that's funny when you consider how many white guys are into the Lakers.
Exactly, but, you know, I guess we're the only brave souls willing to go out there, but you're safe when you're in a Magic Johnson jersey, so what can I say?
That's it? That's your protection?
Did you see any of the violence or anything?
Well, you know what? It wasn't so much as violence. People just burning stuff. It wasn't that big a deal.
Right. You know, well, since when can people not burn stuff?
You know what I mean? It's not their stuff?
What's the problem there? Just light stuff on fire. Everything's cool.
Anarchy is a good thing, you know?
Anarchy is a good thing. I agree. Thank you, Ryan.
All right, man, have a good one.
Bye now.
So the guy with the protective jersey.
Right. He was wearing the Magic Johnson jersey of protection. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Alan. Hi, Alan.
What up, Kevin and Bean? How's it going, Lisa May?
Hi, Alan.
You were down at Staples Center last night?
I was, man. Basically went down with some of my friends, man. We went down with some beer, parked the car wherever we could find parking, and started wilding out.
See, that's it. You wild out.
I was really scared. So afraid of was like if one window goes down, that's it. All of LA is getting everything's getting stolen.
Well, I mean that was the fear. Obviously, is you start getting looting, and then it starts spreading to other parts of the city because they see it on TV down at Staples Center, and they think, well, I can go out and do some of that too.
Well, imagine how many people out there didn't have jobs.
I was running around like a desperate man with a ski mask on in my neighborhood, trying to find somebody to go with, and there's no one out there.
was in the wrong part of town, I think. Very disappointing.
We'll be out there again next year for sure.
Exactly.
All right. All right. Good times. So congratulations to the Lakers' 15th championship, which I guess as the bus kid said last night, they got their eyes on Boston. They're going for, you know, they want to pass them. They've got the most NBA championships at 17. So
the bustard?
Like, the bustard, right. So I guess that's what they're going for.
So congratulations to the Los Angeles Lakers.
There's a lot of players that don't even get to the NBA Finals in a career. This is my sixth time here, and been fortunate enough to win three so far. This means I've been very lucky.
Bryant gets it right back. Falling away, tough shot, puts it in. Oh, what a shot from Kobe Bryant. Shot clock winding down. Kobe Bryant on the drive, gets to the basket. Oh, what a move from Kobe Bryant as the shot clock expires.
Well, you take a look at Kobe Bryant, certain times he just has that look. And right now, he understands it's business time.
Welcome to LA's finest, reign supreme, with the whole West Coast standing behind us. On top of our game, that's where you find us. Becoming world champions, our only assignment.
Derek Fisher ties it with 4.6 remaining.
Odom again, hits another three. LeVar Odom, his third three-pointer.
Shot clock at two, he's got to put it up. Tries to bank it, does so, and a foul.
As the buzzer sounds, it's official. The Lakers are NBA champions once again. L.A. wins the 2009 NBA title.
I'm a Laker till I die. Rest in peace, Chick Hearns.
Game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling. Been jiggling for a long time.
The MVP of the 2009 NBA Finals, who averaged 32 points plus, who averaged almost 6 rebounds and 7 assists a game, Kobe Bryant.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning. By the way, congratulations to text winners who just picked up the final tickets for Breakfast with Incubus. We actually have a way. You can go to kevinandbean.com and get details on how you can be alerted to things, super secret things that only you will know about through text that you can listen to on the show and win free stuff.
Okay.
It's like someone's talking to you right through the radio.
Exactly.
Exactly. So anyway, go to the website and find all that out. Actor Kevin Nealon from Weeds in just a few minutes. First, though, Ralph, you had another great weekend. I know it's something you look forward to every year.
Every year I go down to the Los Angeles Convention Center here in town, and I spend some time with the people at Erotica LA, which is the big erotic expo that features all the latest in sex toys and novelties and adult videos. All the porn stars come out and they meet and greet with the fans and do signings and stuff. And it's just a great weekend. And just everyone is happy. Everyone's got a smile on their face, and it's just fun. And it's sexy, and it's just a good time.
But I know Kevin asks this every year, so this year I'm gonna ask the question.
Thank you.
How can there be something new in sex toys?
Listen,
at this point,
my friend.
How?
Sex is the driving and motivating factor behind all things. And that certainly comes to bear when it comes to inventions and technology. You think about it, the VCR never would have taken off as quickly as it did when it was first introduced into the American culture if it hadn't been for sex videos that people wanted to watch in the privacy of their own homes.
True.
I mean, on the forum, almost every technological advancement, you can see some sort of sexual aspect to it. And these people are coming up with the latest and greatest stuff to provide the most pleasure they can at these sex shows.
All right, take us through it.
So I went down there this year, and it was a great lineup. By the way, if you'd like to see the entire day I spent down there, we've got a video available on the Kevin and Bean page. If you go to Kevin and Bean on krock.com, you can see the video, and you can see this year as well as hear all the people that I talked
to.
Sweet. The first guy I talked to, this is a project that is a long time coming, in my opinion. You know, you're with a lady and...
Is that wordplay?
No.
Okay.
You're with a lady and you're there in bed, and it comes time for you to get amorous, and you've got to find yourself a condom, right?
Right.
So what do? You have to go into the drawer next to in the nightstand, or you have to get up and go into the bathroom, and you're fishing through drawers, and you're making noise, and you're clanking, trying to find yourself a condom.
Right.
This guy has taken all the hassle out of that. This will no longer allow you to break the mood while you're looking for your condom.
This is one of the new products here at Erotica LA 2009. And what's the product you're featuring today, Gabriel?
We have the C-Box Personal Condom Dispenser.
Now, this looks like to me like one of those shoes that you would use in Vegas when you're dealing cards at blackjack.
Exactly. It's pretty much the same concept, only you get condoms. It's a winner every time.
Now, how many condoms does this hold?
It holds about 25, unless you're using magnums. You know, I don't know what you're using, Ralph, but you know.
I use double magnums.
There you go. So you might only be able to fit like 12 or 13 in there.
Now, this goes by the side of your bed, and then it's easy access when you need it, right?
Yeah, you can keep it in a drawer by your bed, put it in your bathroom, keep it somewhere discreet, so when you're ready to grab a condom, it doesn't kill the mood.
How busy does a guy have to be to have 25 condoms at the ready by the side of his bed? Who's getting that lucky?
You know, mine's gotten steady use since I've been using it, man. So maybe it's the shows, maybe it's the, I don't know what it is, but I'm using mine, so.
You're depressing a lot of guys out there, Gabriel.
Yeah. 25 condoms in a holster right there by the side of your bed. Boom. Boom.
Was there a dealer there, too, handing it out?
That's what it looked like. One of those big shoes where they just pull the cards out. That's what he was featuring.
I'd like to take a hit.
It was pretty cool. Are you familiar with the chastity belts for women? Mm-hmm. This is an old school.
Chaz belts, we call them now.
Chaz belts, yeah, since the sex change. The chastity belt was, I guess, a medieval device that women would put on. It was like a metal set of panties and had a padlock on it. And this way, men could ensure their women were being faithful while they went off to fight the wars and stuff.
Because you know how women are.
Whores.
Lion whores, right.
That's right. Well, there's a woman at the Erotic LA who has invented a contraption like this for men. A chastity device for the gentleman.
Hey, no, boy.
How about please. That? No, please.
You get the twig and berries locked up.
How about that?
And your wife or girlfriend gets to keep the key. How do you like that?
Not much.
Not so much. That's how really? I felt when I talked to this woman.
We are the world leader in male chastity devices. This one happens to be called the CB 6000. Mm-hmm. We have different lengths of cages and for the individual fit.
Did you say it's a cage?
A cage.
So it's a cage for a man's penis.
It's a penis cage.
Who in their right mind is putting their penis in a cage?
Thousands of men.
Why? Is this for ladies who can't trust their husbands to go to work without maybe, you know, taking a long lunch break with the secretary?
It could be. But most people are using it for a relationship device. If he's wearing this and she's holding the key, you can hardly wait to get home. So that you can see your little key holder.
My wife doesn't have a key to my car. Why would I give her a key to my penis? Does your husband have one of these?
Absolutely.
And you carry the key?
Absolutely. But see, which one he's in is our latest model, which is the Prince Albert.
Oh.
Which requires the piercing.
No.
And you
no.
cannot escape no. that one at all.
You are the meanest woman I've ever met.
That woman yeah. does not have a husband,
oh,
first
does.
Of all.
She does.
She must be a widower.
And it was a cage
a widow,
with a piercing that goes through the penis to make sure it stays in the cage.
No. That doesn't seem
that is a,
comfortable either, by the way.
You think, Lisa? Biggie, a cage around your penis with a big piercing through it? Doesn't sound comfortable
doesn't sound
to you?
Comfortable to me.
So would a guy agree to wear that only because he gets the turn on of being strapped down until he gets home, right? I mean, he wouldn't do it.
It is
to
sort of
faithful,
like a bondage and discipline sort of thing, where a woman is a dominant and he's a submissive kind of thing. Yeah, that's what they have going on.
That chick, at least she sounded hot.
That's good. She was a piece of work. Doris was. They also
Doris was her name.
The iBod vibrator, which is a vibrator you can plug into your iPod, and it will vibrate to the beat of the music that you're listening to.
Okay.
Pretty cool invention. I talked to a lot of adult film stars this year. Electra Blue and Jessica Drake from Wicked. Were charming. We have some lovely interviews with them on the internet, on the website. I also met Emily Parker, who is a hardcore adult actress who has a Batman fetish. She's in love with Batman.
How'd you guys get along?
Yeah, we got along pretty famously, the two of us. And then I met AJ and Kathy. And AJ and Kathy are, you know, sometimes we get emails from people saying, you know, I got a bachelor party to do and I'm stuck for ideas. I don't know what to say, a stripper or how do I go about that?
Midget.
AJ and Kathy have a new service that they bring to your house. It's a game that you play. And I'm going to do the best I can to describe this, do it justice,
okay,
and keep us out of trouble. But it's a game that you play that involves ring toss.
Right.
And the ring is somehow affiliated with the young girl who is at the party.
Okay.
Who's performing for you.
But she doesn't have anything you can toss.
She doesn't have that. You're exactly right. So you would have to take some sort of stick and somehow keep it attached to her body in a way that you could play ring toss with her.
No.
You understand what I'm saying?
It seems like a lot of work.
For whom?
Well, I'm just saying. I don't. Is it worth it? Does it?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't there. I didn't see.
Here's my interview with AJ and Kathy.
I'm here at Erotic LA 2009 with AJ and Kathy, and they've got a game that I've never played before. AJ, what's the game you're featuring here?
Ring toss.
Can you describe for the folks who are listening and the folks who are watching on krock.com exactly what that is?
Me and my girlfriend get on all fours, and we have a stick in our and then the guys stand like 9 feet away, and they right. throw hoops on our.
Now, let's say I ring your stick. What do I win?
You can win a porn DVD of us, and then you go into the playoffs when it's me and her on all fours, and then you compete, and then you win a shirt.
Wow, I didn't know there were playoffs. Now I'm really excited. Well, if you don't mind, I'd love to take a chance and play ring toss with you.
Okay, we could do that.
And then we can play whatever that game was you described earlier. No, I'm kidding, of course. We're going to play the ring toss game.
So they give me a stack of these rings, which I found vaguely sticky for some reason.
Oh, oh wow. Yeah.
They were hard to throw. They kept sticking to my hand.
Yeah.
They were lightweight.
Uh-huh.
And AJ assumed the position.
Right.
And we were playing right there on the floor of the expo.
And did you win a t-shirt?
Here's some highlights. Oh, that was going. Yes!
All right. See if I can get a twofer here. There we go. Now I'm getting the hang of it. I'm going pro.
Yeah, so I've decided I'm going to go pro. I'm leaving radio and I'm
going
to
be.
Is there a league of some kind?
There is. Will be when I start it.
All right.
Naked girls with ring toss. So if you're looking for a bachelor party idea, I've got all the information of this and all the stuff I talked about at Expo Erotica LA. You can contact me and I can give you the details because I can't tell you over the air what the website is.
That's very nice.
Hey, we got Kevin Nealon on the phone. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not what I meant. Yeah. I'm excited.
Our friend Kevin Nealon, as you know, plays Doug on Weeds, back for a new season. It debuted last week, and episode number 2 of the new season, season 5, airs tonight at 9 on Showtime. Hey, Kevin, how are you, man?
Hey, Kev. Hey, Bean.
You know, I was thinking about you. A lot of people, when the high-def TV came out, a lot of people said, oh, this is bad news for some people. Some people you don't want to see in high-def. And now, not only is your show in high-def, but now they're issuing the old seasons of Weeds on Blu-ray. So now we see Kevin Nealon. It's really better than seeing him in person when we see you on Blu-ray. It must be frightening.
My God, I didn't even know all this stuff you just laid on me. Yeah. That's amazing. Blu-ray.
Yes. People will see you on Blu-ray, which means they're essentially inside your pores. So
nice.
Pressure's on for you to now be pretty, Kevin, is what I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's amazing. Technology is just getting more and more defined every year.
Yeah, and that's not good, I wouldn't guess, for a lot of people.
When do we get to see, like, you guys?
That's never.
When radio becomes that way.
Yeah, we don't really...
That's the point of radio. You never have to see them.
We're not male models like you comedians.
That's right.
You know?
So it must be good for you to have Weeds back on the air, because I would imagine a show like this that has such rabid followers, I would imagine, like, in the off season, all people do is come up to you and going, when's Weeds coming back?
It's true. We only do 13 a year, and it's such a short season, and then it seems so long. It's almost like people are addicted to the drug, you know, and they need it. They got to have it.
Right.
And they get angry at me because, you know, when is it coming back on? When? Okay. And then it finally comes on. They go, finally.
Right.
And then it's almost like pissed for half of the season.
Right. And then it's over immediately, and they go, what?
Yeah.
Are you surprised that the show has stayed as good and has lasted as long as it has, Kevin? Do you anticipate at least a 5-season run when you signed up for this thing?
Not at all. I'm pleasantly surprised. When I auditioned for it, I was just going to be the guest star on the pilot. And then they got picked up and they made me a regular. And then, you know, every year it just got picked up again and again. And, you know, the following has been amazing. And the word of mouth has been great. And I've never been on a show that's had so much buzz about it, even Saturday Night Live, you know?
Yeah. Your character is my favorite on that show. And I don't just say that because we're friends, but I really do love the character of Doug.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
He is fun. He is so much fun.
He is totally baked. He has no, you know, no dignity.
Right.
All he cares about is himself.
That's right.
Now, it's unfortunate that people had to think of the horrible real-life events with David Carradine, but tell me about you doing that scene with the rope and the masturbation on Weeds. Is that like one of the freakiest things you've ever done on camera?
Well, everything on this show, it's like I'm, you know, I won't let my parents watch the show.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
But it's actually, the show's been very prophetic in a lot of ways. You know, a couple of years ago, we had Agrestic, the town of Agrestic, burned down.
That's right.
And a few months after that, Valencia burned down, which is where we shot the show, you know?
That's right. I totally remember
everything
that.
You guys touch turns right to crap.
Yeah. And then last year, we did the whole drug war thing, you know, with the drug lords. And then there's this big thing in the news about, you know, the drug war and the on the border, all the trucks and things. And now this with Carradine, unfortunately. I mean, who knows what that case was with him. But
but you're absolutely right. I mean, it is weird that something's on the TV and then, you know, weeks or months later, it turns out to be true. I mean, you so nailed. There's always been a Mexican drug problem. But the way you describe it on the show is what it ended up being like, which is just a wild west down there.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate to say this because I know we're going to get complaints from people in other parts of the world that listen to our show that haven't seen all of season four yet, but what a brilliant stroke of genius it was to have Mary Louise Parker's character end up being pregnant with the drug lord's baby and now being allowed to stay alive because of it, even though she's an informant. I mean, talk about your tension.
Yeah, I know it. I know. It's an interesting plot line there, and it'll be interesting to see how this season unfolds.
Jennifer Jason Leigh is going to be playing Mary Louise Parker's sister on the show?
Yeah, we got some great guest stars. We have Jennifer Jason Leigh is playing her sister. We have Alanis Morissette on this year as an abortion doctor.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Because when you think of that, you think of Alanis Morissette.
She's got great boobs, doesn't she, Kevin?
I have not seen her boobs to this point.
Oh, you got to check them out, dude. You got to check them out. Let's play a clip from the premiere episode of the new season of Weeds. We're talking to our friend Kevin Nealon. He plays Doug Wilson on the show. It's back tonight at 9 on Showtime. This is a scene where you and Silas and Andy, who are all, you know, related family members in the family drug business aside, they've got a plan to kind of go out on their own a little bit as renegades.
Oh, you guys ought to grow in a national park. All the cool kids are doing it now, and it's free. Like the Eagle, Gift with Purchase. The Nelson Mandela.
Is there a national park around here?
There's Cleveland National Forest.
We're not in Ohio, little man. Are you on drugs?
It's in San Diego County.
We should grow in Cincinnati National Forest, Silas.
Cleveland,
Pittsburgh, you are obsessed with the Rust Belt. What is that?
Yeah, you gotta. The guys on pot always come up with the best ideas, don't they?
That's right. I never knew there was a Cleveland National Forest down in San Diego.
I didn't either, but I'm telling you, some place that involves walking and carrying heavy equipment for 6 hours through the woods sounds like a good business plan to me.
That's right.
Well, we can't wait to see where that's going to head. So happy that Weeds is back. It really is one of the best shows on TV, and it's so weird that you went from this cult hit to now a show that, like, people talk about as if it's real, like they talk about Dancing with the Stars now, Kevin.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's crazy. And by the way, Kevin Nealon is going to be at the Comedy and Magic Club, also in Hermosa Beach. Tremendous stand-up. That'll be June 26th and 27th, which is right around the corner. Comedy and Magic Club, Hermosa Beach. Call 310-372-1193 and see Weeds tonight at 9 on Showtime. Thanks, Kev. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right, thanks, you guys.
Thank you, man.
Ralph Garman is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat for Monday morning.
I just gave everybody stickers of the Ring Toss Company, so in case you didn't earlier. There you go.
Yeah, we can't say that name on the radio, though.
Can't say Ring Toss?
That part we can say,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Like I said, email me if you want more details. It's a fun, fun game. We should play in the studio sometime.
Yeah, Lisa.
No.
Yeah, Lisa. Can you ring toss Lisa? It's our new game.
All right. Oh, instead of licking.
Yes.
I like it.
Ring toss Lisa.
Tomorrow at our live show.
I like it.
Oh.
Oh, waiting for Incubus.
Ring toss with
times.
Incubus. All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday, so you know who's a hit and who's a not. Hangover, $33.4 additional million dollars this weekend. Puts it over the $100 million mark.
Now, Ralph.
3 weeks. Boom.
Are they going to now feel the need to water it down and make a sequel?
How funny you should ask, Bean. I hold in my hand a
really?
Story I just printed off the wire this morning.
That's not necessary.
No, it's real. Because if it wasn't, I couldn't do this.
Not on that paper.
That's right.
That, to me, is a given. Anytime a movie makes $100 million, you go,
right, but artistically, sequel. Sometimes it's not a very good decision.
Warner Brothers and director Todd Phillips have announced that Hangover 2 is 100% happening and in production, and they are eyeing a spring 2010 start date for filming. So there you go.
As long as it's the same director, I'm in. I mean, he did a great job with this one.
But what are they going to do now?
Still hungover.
That's the
point.
Can't
believe it.
Oh, let's go celebrate the birth of my first son. Let's go party in Vegas again like we did before. What? We can't find the baby. He's home alone. Oh.
See, what happens, Kevin, is they sit down to write this movie. They go, what are all the funniest things that could happen when these guys are drunk? Great. Let's put them in the movie. Now they've got to go to, what are the next 30 things that could be funny?
Hangover 2. Trip to Paris. Oh, we're here in Paris. We drank too much wine. Oh, I'm on the Eiffel Tower.
I have confidence in them.
Why?
Because they did such a great job with this one.
Right. That's why you leave well enough alone.
Exactly.
You don't go,
why do you guys hate?
Hangover 2, Safari in Zimbabwe. Oh, we're drunk, there's a rhino in my ass.
Kevin, there's a reason they didn't make a sequel to The Godfather, okay?
Wait
because
a minute.
Once you've done it.
Speaking of which, we're talking to Francis Ford Coppola on Thursday.
Yeah.
How about that?
What's happening?
Director of the freaking Godfather trilogy. Yeah.
Director of the freaking Apocalypse Now, by the way.
Do you guys think
director of freaking The Conversation, which you've never seen, is a brilliant film.
Patton. Do you guys think that he knows that he's on our show?
Right, Patton.
Hey, listen to me.
Well, why are you screaming Patton at me from across the room?
Oswald.
What is he talking about?
I thought he directed Patton.
He didn't.
Okay, well then, I think
shut your mouth! Know things. That's what we're saying.
You think he knows he's on the Kevin and Bean show? I mean, has that occurred to him yet?
I don't know. I'm sure his people just tell him, go here,
go
there.
He wants to sell his movies. He's doing freaking podcasts now, from what I understand. So, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
And now, if he does The Hangover 2, maybe I'm in.
Yeah, not the guy that made it funny the first time, though.
Coppola's a laugh riot, though. Did you ever see Cotton Club? Woo! I almost wet myself. Richard Gere playing trumpet.
Up code?
Was number two. No, he's just, he plays a trumpet.
All right.
Up was number two at the box office. We're 8 minutes into this segment. I've only been at number two on the list.
We're chatting.
We had the top 10 movies. I know Patton. We had to hear from General Patton over here.
Speed bump over here.
My fault. Incredible bastard. Read your book. Six people now are laughing who saw Patton.
Nope.
The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 was third. Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian was number four. Land of the Lost was fifth. Imagine that. The new Eddie Murphy comedy came in at number six, just $5.7 million in its debut weekend. Star Trek was seventh, and Terminator Salvation, Angels and Demons, and Drag Me to Hell, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Trent Reznor announced at the Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival on Sunday that performance was the last ever live show for Nine Inch Nails in the United States.
No!
Don't be sad, he said. I'll keep going, but I think I'm going to lose my mind if I keep doing this, and I have to stop.
Yeah, he needs a vacation.
And he unplugged and just walked right off the stage at that point. No, he didn't. He finished the show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, by all accounts, this is it. But this is it.
What does he mean when he says that, though?
This is it.
All right.
Until the O2 Arena Tour, and then he does 50 shows there.
That's Michael Jackson.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. By the way, Springsteen did Bonnaroo as well this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Did he? First time, right?
Apparently, first time did 3 hours, blew everyone away. And at one point, according to the USA Today, and I'm looking forward to seeing the video, he got down in the crowd and started singing along with Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
Really?
From the Conan O'Brien show.
How about that?
So I'm guessing we'll see that pop up on Conan sometime soon.
Springsteen's the only person I've ever seen in concert where I did not know 99% of the songs and was great.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Doesn't matter whether you know all the songs or not. He is the consummate rock and roll showman.
Hmm.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Neil Patrick Harris. You know him as Doogie Howser, of course, and on How I Met Your Mother. He is 36. Leah Remini.
Ooh.
She was the way too hot wife to Paul Blart in that King of Queens show.
Mm-hmm.
She is 39 years old. Actor and rapper Ice Cube is 40.
Yeah.
Courtney Cox turns 45. Helen Hunt turns 46. Susan Boyle from Britain's Got Talent is 48. She's a good-looking 48.
She is.
She's aging well.
The hairy angel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Jim Belushi celebrates his 55th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
What is that?
What happened with that?
I don't know.
Where'd your energy go?
A lot of excitement.
Long weekend. I was out late getting a TV, you know, in the riots. So
you weren't.
Very tired here this morning. Ralph Garman joins us Monday afternoon. Ralph, you look pissed. You look steamed. You looked upset.
I'm still angry from last week. Because, as you remember, I came in Friday exhausted because I've been up all night long. And it turns out I waited until the afternoon on Thursday to delve into my court-required traffic school.
Ah.
Right.
And I have not attended a traffic school in many, many years. And the last time I did it, it was online. I went online, and I knocked it out in about an hour, hour and a half. I just kind of read through all the material.
Right.
Pretty fast to read. And then I took the test at the end of each chapter, and then it took a big test at the end. And, I wrapped it up on around 90 minutes.
Right, which has been a boon to people who take traffic school because you used to have to go and sit in a classroom for, like, 9 hours.
Right. So I go to do my online traffic school
on Thursday because it was due in court on Friday. And usually they fax over the certificate right away or they email or whatever. So, you know, you can do it the day before. And it turns out there's a new law. There's a new sheriff in town.
What's the new law?
The new law is, Kevin, that the online traffic school has to take as long as going to one of those BS classes with an a-hole wannabe stand-up comedian in front of the room who teaches you all day long how to make a left turn. Has to take the same amount of time.
8 hours?
So it took me about 9 hours by the time everything was said and done to complete my online traffic school.
9 hours of online traffic school?
Here's the thing. I could breeze through the material very quickly, and I would go to turn the page, go to the next item. Oh, no, there's a counter at the bottom of the page that says, no, you still have 4 minutes and 30 seconds on this page before we can let you go on to the next one.
Okay, now I have to ask this question on behalf of my client, Kevin Ryder, who may or may not have gotten a ticket for going 82 miles an hour this morning on his way into work.
Yeah.
Did you just pick the wrong school?
No, it turns out all of them are this way now. This
really?
Is an across-the-board decision. Yeah, so when I went to the simplefastandfun.com, it turns out it was neither simple nor fast nor fun.
Wow.
.com, traffic school.
There aren't any places I could do it. Let's say I got a ticket this morning. There's no place I can go online that I could do it in an hour and a half?
No, sir.
Are you sure?
You are in for the long haul, my little friend.
Oh, wait a second.
Which I say BS, because if I can read the same... Here's the thing. If I go to a traffic school, if I sit there in the basement of some YMCA with some jackhole wannabe comedian up there who's trying to make it entertaining and buying pizza for the class, I can see where it takes 8 hours, because I'm usually surrounded by a bunch of mouth breathers who shouldn't be driving a car in the first place. They should be in the back of a short bus wearing a helmet. And so he's got to take 8 hours to make sure that everyone understands the information that he's trying to disseminate. But when I'm at home and I'm reading this stuff, and if I read quicker than the average bear, and I can get through the material yet still pass the tests and do all the required things I need to do in order to prove that I did read the material, then why does it have to take 8 hours? Why are they insisting that I take as long as possible? I say it's punishment. They're trying to punish us.
It is.
But via... the time it takes to do this class instead of what the point should be, which is to get you reacquainted and refreshed on what the laws are in terms of operating a motor vehicle.
Do you think that these classes that they have, it's a money-making venture, and all of these people that run classes went to the DMV and said, hey, that you could do it an hour online. Why would anyone use us? So they just said, let's make it take that long.
Why not just let them die? Let's say, all right, then, let's just close all those things and let everyone do it online.
Their time has come and gone.
If the point is to learn, which it clearly isn't, the point is to waste your time, right?
This is some sort of punitive measure where they want you to waste your day, and this way you'll get slapped on the wrist and you'll never be a bad boy again. That's the only reason I can see why they would make you spend 8.5 hours at home doing this. Now, don't get me wrong. It's still better than going to one of those classes because you're still at home.
Right.
And you can get up and go get yourself a soda or whatever. And you're online so you can read your email for 4 minutes while you're waiting for this counter to tick down.
A little U-porn on the downtime.
What
right.
a
but
waste.
It's still, it's just an ordeal of just having to slog through it for
okay.
8 hours.
But the point here, Ralph, is at least it only took you 8.5 hours. It's going to take Kevin 12.
It's going to take him a week.
I mean, think about
it. What's he going to do?
Poor
Kevin.
He needs to start now.
He's going to get to the end of a chapter and they're going to give him a list of questions about what he just read? Can you imagine what that must be like for him?
Here's what I'd like to suggest. I'd like to suggest there has to be another way. That is my theory on everything in life. There has to be another way.
Now, knowing you will buy a certificate of completion from someone.
Or pay someone to take it for you.
You're going to go down to Olivero Street, whatever, and there's an alley, and there's a guy printing Social Security cards.
Fake IDs.
Right. And certificates of completion of online driving school, and that's what you're going to get.
I'm suggesting that if I were to have gotten a ticket this morning on my way to work, because I was going too fast because I was late.
Mm-hmm.
If that happened, then I would also be looking for another option other than the one Ralph is talking about,
gotcha.
Which is an 8.5 online. That just seems ridiculous.
So Kevin at krock.com is the point you're
right.
trying to put out.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying there's
Kevin's
got
to looking to give $100 to a guy who runs one of these schools who will just stamp his form completed. That's what Kevin's looking to do.
Right, or just let me... Did you get a certificate that you print out or something? Like,
no, they send it. They send it to the court for you.
Couldn't make like a screen capture of it and send it to me, or
I don't believe,
so I can make one up.
I don't believe I want you to have an easier time of it than I had.
Come
frankly.
On now!
I think I want you to suffer just like I did.
But you said it was unfair. It was ridiculous.
It is.
Well, then why would you want that for
because
me?
Because it's unfair for me.
Oh.
It should be unfair for you because then that would be fair. See,
that's bull.
Wow. We don't need that kind of language.
Is it possible we could do a break where we talk about how to take a contract on somebody?
Yes.
Would that be against the law?
How to hire a killer?
I don't know if having the conversation would be against the law.
Well, would we be inciting a felony or something if we talked about
it? We just want to know.
Doto told us last week that he has friends that are assassins or similar.
or similar.
They're assassin-esque.
We had a mob boss, a former mob boss, in on the show not too long ago.
Yeah, but he was talking about his ancient histories. Okay. He's all cleaned up now. I want to get a contract out on you specifically.
On me?
And I'm trying to figure out how to go about that.
Why are you surprised? We all knew it was on you.
Who did you think it was on in this room?
The minute we talked about 7-Eleven, how much you love them, and you said, hey, I don't like Slurpees myself. And that's when I knew I had to have you rubbed out.
But that's not the, you don't the kill
only
somebody
good thing. It's the only good thing at 7-Eleven. You've been beating us to death with 7-Eleven facts for 20 years, and now you say you don't like the 7-Eleven Slurpees,
I don't care
which is
for
the only reason
Slurpees.
Really to go into a 7-Eleven.
I hardly think that's occasion to kill a man.
I don't want Ralph killed, but I would like to look into how to have it happen.
Yes, I would like to know
just
how to go
case.
About it.
Theoretically.
Just in case you ever end up dead and I have an alibi. I would just like to know how that happens.
Why don't we talk less about killing Bean and more about what's going on in the world of showbiz on a Monday afternoon?
I don't think that would make anyone happier.
Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde.
Everyone much more appreciate the former conversation.
Now here's Ralph with the showbiz beat.
All right.
Kevin at KRock.com, Ralph at KRock.com. We need the info.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday. The Hangover, number one at the box office, $33.4 million.
I can't wait to see that one again.
It breaks the $100 million mark. Not a lot of comedies have done that.
Almost went this weekend again just because I just loved it so much.
Up is number two, $30.5 million. Made it so. The Taking of Pelham 123 in its debut weekend did $25 million. Pretty well for itself. Night at the Museum was fourth. Land of the Lost was fifth. And imagine that. Struggling in its debut weekend with just $5.7 million, making it number six.
That's what happens when Eddie Murphy only plays one character.
That's right. You need more Eddie, more of the time. Star Trek was number seven. Terminator Salvation, Angels and Demons, and Drag Me to Hell, top 10 at the box office this weekend. The funeral for David Carradine was this weekend as well. Saturday afternoon, a lot of celebrities showed up. Tom Selleck, Lucy Liu, Daryl Hannah, Jane Seymour. David's older brother, Bruce, apparently gave the eulogy, and it was apparently a very touching yet lighthearted send-off to the actor. Afterwards, a group of Lakota tribal members burned incense and gave their blessings to the attendees. So apparently it was a very spiritual event. I was going to make a joke there, but thought the better of it.
It's a good choice.
Let the man rest in peace. Colin Farrell's causing some trouble on the set of his new movie, London Boulevard. He has demanded that producers on the film pony up to buy him more security guards because the British paparazzi are following him everywhere, and it says it's interfering with his night life. Ooh. He can't go to all the clubs he wants to and bang all the broads he wants to because the photographers are getting in the way.
Well, that's ridiculous.
You don't want that.
Then.
You
know? It is ridiculous. I mean, the guy can't get his groove on?
Right.
They should pony up and get him an armored car or something, you know, with a waterbed in it so he can bang chicks safely. And Sharon Osbourne, she is responsible for the debt of California.
Really? What?
Yes, we finally found out. It turns out Sharon owes back taxes to the state of California to the tune of $400,000.
Dude.
What? She just didn't pay for it?
Yes. How about that? How about a little money? How about paying back a little money?
No wow. Kidding.
We need it. State of California says that she has made plans to pay back the majority of the bill, but so far she is still missing several $1,000 in back taxes, so that has not been settled yet. Janice Dickinson, the original supermodel, by the way, just ask her.
Mm-hmm.
She apparently also owns $33,000 in back taxes, and the state said they'll be waiting for her when she returns from Costa Rica after she gets out of the jungle on I'm a Celebrity to hand her that bill as well.
She's going to stay on with I'm a Celebrity, keep me out of America.
That's right.
Because I owe them money.
By the way, speaking of the city and the county and the state all being broke, how many millions of dollars is it going to cost the taxpayers for this Lakers parade on Wednesday?
Hey, who cares?
I'm just saying.
Why don't you shut
that's got to be paid for, too, you know?
I actually know
he's
the answer to that.
What is the answer, Lisa?
It's going to cost, they say, about $2 million. The Lakers are ponying up $1 million, and then they're going to try to get some sponsors to kick in cash.
There you go.
Well.
Okay. Sponsors. So F you.
That would be better if it didn't cost the taxpayer.
Because there's probably police and stuff like that that's, you know, obviously got to be on the case.
And VH1 has come up with a reality show, finally, that I can get behind. Now, it's not, Rock of Love or the Flavor of Love or any other
you
love.
Like Celebrity Rehab, all that stuff, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. But I don't care for those dating shows with the pseudo-celebrities. However, this project sounds fun. It is called the OCD Project.
I'm in.
And we'll have a group of people living together for several weeks who undergo treatment for their obsessive compulsive disorder.
That sounds great.
I love
that. Bunch of OCD people living in the same house.
Yeah.
Washing their hands and flicking light switches on and off and opening and closing doors.
Counting stuff.
It's going to be awesome.
I love that.
Yeah, apparently they'll be getting treatment. Sure they will. That's what we tell them to get them in the house. Yeah, so that's coming on in a couple months. We'll be able to check that out. And I'm very excited about that. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Jim Belushi's 55 years old. Susan Boyle. She was the second place winner on Britain's Got Talent, but she was the runaway hit from that show. 48 years old today. Helen Hunt, 46. Courtney Cox is 45. Actress Dina Meyer, who was in Starship Troopers. Remember her?
No.
Mm-mm. Hot chick. 40 years old. Ice Cube, rapper and actor, 40 years old. Leah Remini's 39. And Neil Patrick Harris not only was the host of the Tonys this year, but he also was Doogie Howser and is on How I Met Your Mother. He is 36. Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.